Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We are here live tonight, and good to be with you. We're in a live prophetic talk show again Thursday night. We'll be taking communion here tonight, so if you don't have that ready, you might get that ready. I've got mine ready here, so we can begin to experience Passover and DNA. We're eating some DNA tonight, Jesus DNA, one way or the other. That's what we're doing. Yeah. All right. So good to be with you tonight. If you want to do that with us, grab you your juice and your cup, and let's get together and do that tonight. I think it would really be awesome if you could do it with us. You say, well, I'm a sinner. I've been sinning today, and I just don't know, man. Randy, I'm just not sure about all that. God might smite me. Well, here's the thing is, do you want to be free? Do you want to be free from your sin? The sin you're doing, the sin you're having a trouble with, whatever it is? Huh? I mean, do you? I think you do. Yeah, I think people do. I think you do. I think most people do. I don't think anybody likes being bondage to sin. I don't think anybody likes that, especially if you're born again. And if you're not born again, you can pray the sinner's prayer. Just say, Jesus, save me, cleanse me, wash me. I want to be new. I want to be brand new. I want a new beginning. And in Jesus' name, I accept your work on the cross. And that you resurrected from the dead on the third day, sent the Holy Spirit to me. If you ascended to the Father, in Jesus' name, I receive you, Jesus. Hallowed, cleanse me with your blood. All you got to do is pray that. Meet it in your heart. And when God draws you nigh, oh, wow, it's really, really awesome. Really, really awesome. We talked last night a little bit and in the scripture about, things moving on into the millennium and how that works. And so if you missed that last night, you might go back and listen to that. I've had people ask me questions. It's a common question that I get asked a lot, about, if the Lord really is coming soon, then shouldn't we, drop what we're doing? And it's funny when you think about it. Shouldn't I drop what I'm doing and start seeking God more? I mean, it's a good question. I think everybody asks it in their heart one way or the other, right? I think it's a real honest question. But the thing is, so you're saying right now you might not be seeking him with all your heart. Huh? Well, I'm, trying to buy me a motorcycle. I'm trying to get me a car. I'm trying to get me a wife, a husband, trying to have children. When you seek first the kingdom of God, he adds all that to you. So, yeah, it is about seeking God first. So if you're not seeking God first, then you might want to jump on that. I think you'll like it. You'll love it. It's a lot of fun. And you learn a lot. But, I mean, you're perfect, but you're perfectly seeking God is just doing it the best that you know how, with all your heart. And so if you're not doing it as good as somebody else is, well, maybe you are, maybe you're not. Who knows? Who knows what's really going on with that person? They may just be religiously acting like they've got it all together. They may be falling apart at the seams, just don't want anybody to know it. Right? Yeah, very well could be. So don't compare yourself to others, and be careful not to do that. Should we start dropping things that we're doing and start seeking God more wholeheartedly? Yeah, I guess maybe you should, since you're asking that question, you want to know. I mean, are what you're doing, is that so you're not seeking God with all your heart now? Either are you not, Well, the thing that people ask me is, but if we're going to enter through the tribulation, and some people think pre-tribulation rapture, we're going to be out of here anyway, so what do I need to be, why don't I just start witnessing everybody so they can make it to the rapture? And the pre-tribulation rapture, I'm going, well, I don't think that's going to happen anyway. I know it's not going to happen. But, if God's calling you to stop doing what you're doing and witnessing to people, do it. If God's calling you to go to the store every day and look for somebody that you might can pray for, or, you know, you might share Jesus with in some fashion or form, some way or another, however you feel led to do it. Give somebody a word, you know, comfort them, say hello to them, say, how are you doing? You know, I mean, why can't you go seeking for food at the grocery store and be seeking God at the same time? You see what I'm saying? You go to the grocery store. I'm hungry when I go to the grocery store most of the time. I'm going like, yeah, baby, come on, Jesus, help me out here. I want some good food. Give me some good food. No good meat, good chicken, whatever it is, good vegetables, whatever I'm doing. And, you know, so I'm seeking, you know, it's like we think that the only true way to be seeking God correctly is every moment going, okay, Jesus, where are you at, Jesus? Okay, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Okay, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Use me. Usually people that are doing that, they need some help. They need some help. Because if you're not just already got your will set to walk with God, if you haven't already done that, you know, then maybe you should start doing that. If you're lying to people, lying to yourself, doing things behind closed doors that, you know, God knows, and you know the angels watch you every time you do it, whatever it is, you know. So, yeah, start seeking God with all your heart. Ask God to deliver you from that stuff, because that's going to defile you. Defilement keeps you from being able to see the way. People ask me all the time, you know, pray that I can see the will of God. Pray, what's the will of God for me? Even if you tell them, they still can't see it if they're blind. If you're blind, you can't see it even when they tell you. It's like telling a blind man, hey, the blind man says, hey, can you tell me how to get to Walmart down here? You know, I know it's about half a mile away. And you tell him, yeah, go down here to the light, two blocks away, cross the road, go another two blocks, and at the bowling alley, you know, cross the street at the bowling alley, and Walmart's like right there. And the blind man's going like, okay. But they can't get there because they can't see anything. So what good does it do to tell somebody the will of God when they're blind? It does no good because they can't get there. They need somebody to take them by the hand. If you have to take everybody by the hand, the blind leading the blind, we're all going to fall into the ditch, friends. That just can't happen. I don't know why I'm laughing about this tonight. It all seems so funny to me. I hear the examples that come up out of me, and it's just funny to me. But, you know, so, you know, it's funny. It's not funny, but it is funny. So I think we can laugh about some things. So anyway, so here we go. We're, you know, so do we, you know, start really seeking more after God, you know, like I'm only giving 50%. Should I give 100%? You know, okay, so you're not already giving 100%? All right, well, I can understand it. I think that can help you. I think that the tribulation is going to be a thing that's going to cause people that think they're seeking God to start seeking God. So, yeah, that's a good thing to talk about, ask about. And when the pressure starts coming on you and all of a sudden – you were, you know, believing God for, you know, to have this great job, all this big money, to have a big house and a big home, and all of a sudden the business went down and you're left with nothing. And does that destroy you when that happens? Does that destroy you when that falls apart? Well, maybe it's because we have our hearts set on the wrong things. But, you know, asking God for a home, a house, children, family, a car, a good job. I mean, that's just everyday life. If you have to quit your job in order to serve Jesus every day, oh, Jesus is coming next week, so I better quit my job now and start serving God every day. Are you serving God on your job? Are you serving God on your way to the job? Are you serving God before you go to work that day? Are you serving to God when you get home from work? Are you serving God? If you're not, then yeah. Yeah, I would say definitely do that. But if you can't go to work and do a job, do your job and serve God at work, you know, then I don't know. I think there may be a problem there. So what does it take to serve God with all your heart? I mean, what does it mean? You stop everything? you tell your family, I gotta leave, I gotta go out into the streets, you know, I'm gonna spend the night in the streets, I'm gonna witness all the time. Well, if God tells you this, it's great, but you know, why can't you just, you know, do that wherever you go now with all your heart? So I think we have a real misunderstanding of how a lot of that works. So when you're seeking a house, are you seeking that house with God? Are you and God seeking that house together? Are you and God seeking that job together? Are you and God seeking that husband or wife together? Or are you doing that on your own? Well, if you're doing it on your own, it's going to be burned up. Friend, we read that last night in Scripture. It's going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. So, yeah, so that's something you really need to think about. And, yeah, if you don't know that yet, then, you know, you need to find out. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14, I read this last night, but I'm going to expand on it a little bit more tonight. You know, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives the fire, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Right? And it says in verse 12, now, if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has done, built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Wow, really cool. So, you know, so I think God wants to set in order for us that you can believe God for that house that you need, because that's one of his covenant promises. You can believe God for that provision from a job or whatever that you need, because that's his covenant promise. And whatever's in the covenant promise, you can know that if you're seeking God first, that because you're seeking God and you have a covenant with him, he's going to add that to you. It doesn't mean that you sit around and wait for agreement and vision to go get a house or a home or a husband or a wife. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean you don't, you know, keep your eye open. Hey, you know, God, you're going to show me a wife today or a husband, or you're going to show me that house we're going to buy or the car or whatever. See, you can seek God with all your heart. And with people that do that, God rewards them. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things are just added to you. So we should be doing that all the time, right? I think one of the greatest fears that we have, that most people have, is that, the tribulation is going to come, and most people think there's going to be a pre-trib rapture, which there is not. It's going to be a rapture arriving, our pre-trib rapture. So they're thinking, they already got it in their minds. You can tell they believe in the preacher's rapture most of the time, because they're going like, well, what's the use in having a house if I'm going to be raptured out for 7 years? I'm going, well, you're not going to be raptured out for 7 years, because we're going to go through and watch the glory of God manifest. And so when you start understanding that, you start going, okay, that start changing your mindset a little bit. Okay, so I am going to be here, right? You really believe that? I said, yeah, I know you're going to be here. I know I'm going to be here. You're going to be here too. And unless you die before it all happens or whatever, or get raptured up yourself like Enoch did or Elijah, that would be cool. But other than that, you know, you're going to be here for that. So you got to have a house to live in, right? You got to have a home, a job, a provision. You want to, you know, if whatever God wants to provide for you, that's part of the covenant. So if it's part of the covenant, then that means God has it for you. It's built into the covenant. If you're a covenant-walking person, if you're putting God first, he's going to add that to you. The problem is people start freaking out going, oh, my God, I'm not going to get a house if I don't really start going after it and drop everything and go after the house and drop everything and go after whatever it is. I got to drop God, drop this, drop that. Oh, I can't. Yeah. And that's when you start messing up. That's when what you get from that gets burned up in the fire. Because you added that yourself, and that's going to get burned up. My stuff, your stuff, anybody's stuff. So, you know, so here's one thing that we got to think about that I want to talk about tonight. One of the greatest fears that people have about all the stuff thing, because most people don't understand the stuff realm anyway. I say the stuff realm, I'm talking about the covenant stuff that God has for you, house, home, family. You know, he wants family. He wants to continue. So we're going through the tribulation, right? You have to have a house to live in. Times are going to get really hard, in some places really, really, really hard. Other places, not so hard. The Antichrist is going to be all over the world. Most pre-trib people will tell you, and they'll leave it right there. They don't tell you the rest of the story. But the rest of the story is they're also going to be, you know, some Christ people all over the world. That's the part that they neglect to tell you, is that the good side of that is there's going to be Christ people mixed in with all the Antichrist people, right? Kind of like wheat and tares, sort of, to a certain degree. We're going to be mixed in together. We're going to be everywhere. You know, some places are going to have it rougher than others. The Antichrist is going to be ruling with more power and authority and viciousness from some areas, but there are going to be a lot of hindrances because the two witnesses, number one, we know the two witnesses for sure are going to be hindering them, right? We know that for sure. So everything he does is going to be hindered by the two witnesses. Everywhere he goes, they're going to be there. So we know that the Holy Spirit's with them. He's not gone. The Holy Spirit's not gone. He's with them. He's doing some stuff and protecting people and keeping people and watching over people. The Holy Spirit's doing all that. John Hagee says the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out. If you don't know that by now, he's proud of it. So I don't think he'll probably be glad I'm telling you. But, you know, that's totally crazy as far as doctrine. Now, he's not a nutbag, but that's a nutbag doctrine because the Holy Spirit's got to be here for all that to happen, right? I mean, it's just common sense. You know, I don't know how they get by with that, but anyway, they do. So most people have a fear like, okay, why do I need to seek after a husband, have a husband and a wife and all that when I'm going to be raptured out? Well, if you really were going to be raptured out, I could see your thinking. It's a whole different line of thinking. If you're going to be gone for those 7 years, then, hey, when you come back, then in the millennium, then you can get you another house, you know, or something or whatever. Whatever you believe about that. But here's the thing. That if you know that you're going to be here and we're going to have houses to live in, homes to live in, then you think completely different. You think, well, I have a covenant with God. When God gives me something, it can't be burned up. It can't be taken away from me. Right? So the fear of our stuff being taken from us, it can only be manifest in the fact that God didn't give it to us, that we got it ourselves. The fear you have, then, yeah, you need to stop for a minute and say, God, am I really seeking this thing? Am I so caught up in trying to get my money for this thing that I lie and I cheat and steal and rob and do whatever? I mean, I don't know anybody that's doing that, but just in case. You know, if you're obsessed with it or you can't, you know, all you think about is, I got to have that wife. I got to have that husband. I got to have that job. I got to have that money. And you just do anything and everything, and that's all you think about, and you're obsessed with it, I would say you have a problem with that. I think you need just to sit back a little bit and take some communion and ask Jesus to help you with that. I know what it's like to be obsessed and compulsive with things. I've been there, too. I can do that very easily and still could to this day, you know. So if the Lord's coming, then what do we need a studio for? And if he's coming in 10 years, well, we got 10 years in the studio, but most pre-trip people think, well, there's seven of that. We're not going to be here anyway. So what do you need all that for? Just do something from a little house somewhere. It's cheap, you know, not a bad idea. But, you know, but see, it's the way people think like that because they think wrong about what's going to happen, how it's going to be. There's going to be flourishing ministries right in the middle of this so-called Holocaust that the pre-trippers focus on. Everybody's going to die, and everybody's going to get their head cut off, like John Hagee says, and, you know, many others, because they focus on that. They forget that there's Christians everywhere. Yes, some are going to be killed. There's no doubt about it. It's like the Book of Acts, except it's all around the world. Were there martyrs in the Book of Acts? Yes. You need to eat the Book of Acts and look at it as the seven-year tribulation. That would be a good way to properly understand what's really going to go on. The church is going to set up a throne room like Peter did when Ananias and Sapphira came in and said, you know, you're not lying to me. You're not lying to me. You're lying to God, because God was right there and set up a throne. And it was God doing it. God did the doing away with Ananias and Sapphira. It had nothing to do with Peter. Peter was just the instrument. He was the delivery boy. That's all he was. God was the one who did all that. So, and then you have that church realm with the government of God being set up, fighting against the governments of the world. We're going to have the same thing in the end times, in this tribulation. We're going to have the same scenario exactly. We're going to have the governments of the world, and he's going to be literally all over the world, right? Just like in Egypt, they had Egyptians that were their neighbors, right? They were protected, okay? So, you know, some people don't have the faith for that. You know, it's all over the Bible. Oh, you can't be here for that because the wrath of God's not for the Christians. Exactly. So when the wrath comes on the heathen, it's not going to touch you, friend. That's what you need to understand. It's not going to touch you. And it's not going to touch your stuff. We're talking about, we're going to deal with the thing about our stuff tonight, because understanding that is important, because people will get a guilt complex about having a house and a home and seeking God for that. They're going to go, I can't do that because, oh my God, I got to seek God first. Well, seek God first and then watch God give you a house and a home. You may, he may tell you to go to the real estate person and let the real estate person help you and witness to the real estate person or whatever or something. Do seek God about all that. So you're seeking God first and you're in a process of getting a house, a home, a job, a husband, a wife, a ministry, a studio. And so God is giving us stuff for what reason? Because it's part of his covenant. It's part of his covenant, whether you're in Egypt and God's tearing up Egypt, tearing down Egypt, destroying Egypt, but he never destroyed the children of Israel. They sat right there in their homes, in their houses, and were protected. So, oh, wait a minute now. When Moses comes, oh, if Moses comes, should I move out of my house and what? Because, you know, God's going to come destroy Egypt. And Goshen was in Egypt. God's going to come and destroy Egypt. I can just, some prophet rises up. Yeah, God is sending a man of God. His name, I think, is Moses, and he's coming to deliver the children of Israel. And Egypt is going to be destroyed. All of Egypt will be destroyed, saith the Lord. A true word. A true word. And that's what the pre-tribbers say, and that's all they focus on. But what was the other part of it? Oh, should I keep my house, my little home? You know, where they put the blood on the doorpost later. Should I have that? Oh, my God, I'm going to seek God first. I can't do that. Oh, Jesus, I got to move out in the boondocks and have a day. That's what the pre-tribbers get you thinking. But if you look at the Bible and the Word of God, you're going to see that, you know, they had their houses and their homes. Why, Egypt, God was pouring his wrath out on Egypt, man. I mean, it was worse than, I was listening to it again today, it was worse than any other time that their grandfathers and their great-great-grandfathers had ever seen. I mean, it was bad, y'all. They'd had plagues in Egypt before, but not like that, and especially not at the order of a man of God. All the other plagues that came, they just kind of came. But these plagues came by, thus saith the Lord God, through a man named Moses and Aaron. Moses started the plague, as God did it, really, and Moses ended the plague because God honored what Moses said, because God told Moses what to say, right? You see? But the whole time, Israel was protected. Kept. They had their houses, they had their home, they had food. The only time they quit eating regular food and having, you know, leavened bread and regular bread and food and, you know, barbecuing out in the front yard was when God told them during the Passover to not do that. Clean up their houses, pack their bags, get ready, put the blood on the doorpost, go get money from the neighbors, and take off. You know? Well, that was a form of the rapture, Randy. Well, then the rapture happens after all the trouble then, and that's a picture of the rapture. I don't. People get crazy stuff, man. It's crazy to me, but that's a picture of the rapture, Brother Chandler, don't you know? Yes. I'm going, okay, then all the wrath of God came, and then they walked out of Egypt. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, So we have to start getting our thinking straight, friend, or we're going to get all confused and messed up and go, you know, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And most of the panic is coming from people who believe the pre-trib rapture theory. That's what they're panicking over. And the whole Bible is full of God helping us and delivering us. The whole Bible is full of it. So we're talking about stuff tonight. What about your stuff? Well, God had them walk out with stuff. They walked out, actually, with the Egyptians' stuff. Their cloth, their gold, their silver. They walked out with the stuff. Well, Brother Randy, don't you think that when things really start getting bad and Jesus is coming back, that we need to just get rid of all of our money and all of our stuff and sell our houses and start supporting the gospel? we could buy you a studio. Well, what do you want to buy me a studio for when the studio is going to be, whatever, burned up or something? What do I want to do that for? Yeah, just kind of. So I want us to start thinking correctly, friend, and start getting the idea and understanding of what's really going on, what's really happening, what's really going to happen. In the midst of all this stuff, we're going to be barbecuing out in the front yard and go outside, hey, tonight there's going to be a show. What's the show? Oh, it's a big movie about the plagues on Egypt. What's showing tonight? Oh, you're going to love it. It's going to be the frogs. Yeah, the frogs are going to be out everywhere. It's going to be really a hit. It's a really great thing. You got to see it. It's going to last about 3 or 4 days. Frogs are going to be everywhere. No, not in our place. Not in Israel's place. No, I didn't mean that. I mean, we're watching a movie, right? It's going to be a real show. You got to see it. And then a couple of days later, what's the show tonight, Brother Chandler, Prophet Moses, and whoever else you are? What's showing tonight? Oh, hailstones are on tonight, man. It's called the Hailstones on Egypt. You're going to love it. Okay, let's all barbecue, get our meat out there, and we're going to watch this show, right? These people have been oppressing us for a long time. Like God is coming to – the whole theme of the movie is God's coming to show his stuff, coming to show off. This is all through the Bible, friend. We're just using Egypt because most people are familiar with the Ten Commandments. They know the movie about that. What's showing tonight? Well, then the last one, of course, they had to go inside their houses and not eat the regular food they ate, unleavened bread, and kill a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, because that's what God said to do. And after that, when the angel of death came and passed over all them and only dealt with the Egyptians, because they're not appointed to wrath, right? They weren't appointed to wrath. Why? Why? Because they had the blood on the doorpost. So when the wrath came, the death and destruction to the firstborn of their animals, to their wealth, to their children. It didn't come near them. And then God says, okay, now that they've got dead children and a dead husband and dead cows and horses, you know, all around the house and inside the house, I want you to go knock on the door and ask for their money. And they're going to give it to you. Because they're thinking, all this is coming on us because of you guys. Now, if we start thinking more like that, friend, all this trouble is going to come for them, not for you. When do you start thinking the trouble's for you? The wrath is not for you and I. It's for them. And God is preaching the gospel to them. He's saying, hey, you Egyptians, you can put the blood on your doorpost too if you want. I love you. For God so loved the world. He gave them every – he was preaching to them. And he said, if you want to be like one of my children, you can anytime, any day. Watch what I don't do to my children and watch what I do to you because you don't know me. You don't have a covenant with me. Wrath is coming. Yeah. In one sense, the Israelites are going, man, this is awesome. That dude, that slave driver, he messed me up many times. He whipped me so many times for doing nothing. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm glad, you know, hey, yeah. That darkness that came where they couldn't see for 3 days or whatever, it hit his house, and he was free. I know he doesn't like the dark. I know he was freaking out. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, I'm not supposed to think like that. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. Let me tell you something, friend. When God gets ready to pour out his wrath, he's going to do it in justice, not in – and he's going to do it in a realm of justice, not in injustice. When he pours out his plagues on the earth, it's not going to be because he's mad at somebody. He's going to be because I gave you every chance. Now, this is your last chance, and I'm going to have my people around to hold your hand. If you'll cry out to me, I'll have them right there. All they do is just come out of the Egypt, come out of that plague place, and come into over into Goshen land and hold the hand of somebody, and they'll lead you into a prayer of how to receive Jehovah. And then when you put the blood on the doorpost, you Egyptians won't have death in your family because guess what? You just made a covenant with God. That's the real gospel, friend. That's the real Bible. All this other stuff is a bunch of nonsense. People who know the Bible so well teach us, and I've been to Bible school, they teach you, look at the overall word of God before you interpret some little something and make it into a cult or an issue. And then when they do it, though, oh, yeah, that's because, you know, we're the big dogs. We can say what we want. We can take a scripture and do what we want to get with it. It doesn't matter what the whole Word of God says. We're pointing at this one little thing over here, and we're taking this, and this is the answer. Now, it's all different now because we're special. God's going, yeah, you're special, but not in that kind of way. So we're looking at our stuff. So when you start getting the right doctrine, it's the right understanding, and start realizing what's really going to go on, you're not going to be worrying about your stuff, because your stuff, if it's coming from God, it's going to be kept by God, friend, all the way into the millennium. So the house you buy now, you're going to have that same house in the millennium. If it's God, if it's not God, then it'll get burned up. And, hey, at least you won't get burned up, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And won't that be cool? So, you know, standing there, you know, in my house that I might have got without God. And all of a sudden, my whole house just goes up in flames. And I might have got a little hot, a little sunburn type thing going on, you know, maybe a couple of first-degree burns, but at least, you know, I don't die. Thank God for that. That's what's amazing about this whole thing. Everything else is going to be burned up that's not of God. But if it's of God, it's going to be kept. What you're doing to Jesus is kept, friend. When are we going to start understanding that? That's why they. That's what the pre-trib theory does. It strips you from God protecting you. That's what it does. That's why I hate it. That's why I despise that thing. And you can tell that I really don't like it, and I don't like it at all. And I don't like it that people preach it and talk about it and tell the body of Christ, and they swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Why? Because it's false hope. Then they're not prepared and ready. Then they're not thinking right. Then they're asking questions like, well, you think that I should stop everything I'm doing and start seeking God? And I don't know that Jesus is coming, or what they really think is the rapture. Because why do I need a house for if I'm going to be raptured out for 7 years? Because their thinking is wrong. That's why Paul talks about this stuff in 1 Corinthians. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I love choirs. So, hallelujah. Yeah, so we need to listen to this, friend. I'm a little rough on these things because they need to be roughed on. We've had too much lukewarm talk about, oh, yeah, brother so-and-so, he really believes in this. He's really knowledgeable. He knows what he's talking about. And they don't even look in the Word of God for themselves. All they do is trust Billy Bob because he's on TVN or Daystar. They don't even look in the Word of God for themselves. Yeah, they're trusting too many, trusting people too much instead of trusting God, going to God's Word. That's why I want to provoke you tonight to go look in God's Word. Go look at God's whole Word. Don't just take a little bit of their doctrines and their things they say, and they point to this scripture and that scripture, and then they say this is really gonna, I know it's going to be completely different here because God always took care of us all through every other thing, and the wrath wasn't poured out, and even though the wrath is poured out, we were protected in the wrath. This time the wrath is different here because it's going to be God's wrath, like God's going to accidentally kill his own people. I'm just going, duh. What in the world are they talking about? Well, if God decides to take your stuff, you know, for a while, can he do it? Will that happen? Yes, that will happen. The devil can't take it. The tribulation can't take it, but God can. If you're afraid of that, friend, where are you at with your stuff? What's you and your stuff realm, where's it at with God? And I'm talking about me too, you too, all of us. It's easy to get caught up into stuff. We can do it. God wants to add it to us, and we stop sometimes. We get caught up into going after it. It's all we think about. It's all we do. God says, you know, I want you to have your stuff, but if I decide to take it, where's that in the Bible? God takes your stuff. Will God take the stuff he gives you and destroy it if he wants to? Absolutely. Are you afraid of that? Are we afraid of that? Am I afraid of that? I'm sure. I think I've feared it before. Yes, I have. I definitely have feared that. Who wants to suffer? Nobody does. Well, who are you talking about then? Well, the greatest example we know of is Job. Job had everything Job had came from God. The Bible says it came from God. God blessed him. He was the wealthiest man in the earth. And God gave him all that, the cattle, the children, even the wife. She wasn't perfect, that God gave him that wife. And he had children, bunches of children with her. Had cattle, horses, camels. He had everything, man, land. Everybody loved Job because Job had lots of money and he was a giver. He loved to help people. He was a kind man. And all of a sudden, one day, God comes up to the devil and he says, "Hey, devil, you know, have you ever considered my servant Job? I'm kind of proud of him. He's really awesome. I've given him all that stuff." Yeah, Satan goes, "Yeah, I know. I've tried to take stuff away. I've tried to destroy his stuff before, but you've got a hedge. You, God, have a hedge." Why was the hedge? The hedge wasn't God protecting stuff that Job had got on his own. The hedge was there because God protected his own stuff. Satan couldn't get in there and take. If you're afraid of Satan taking your stuff, man, then if all the hedge you have is your insurance policy, which I think you should have one, if that's all the hedge you got, dude, your hedge is worthless. There was a hedge around Job's stuff. Why? Because God put it there, and the devil knew it. The devil said, "Yeah, I tried to hit him a few times, but, man, I couldn't do anything to him." Yeah, because you protect him, but you take that thing away from him, oh, and he'll fall apart. You just watch. He'll fall apart. All that stuff you gave him, yeah, God says, "I'm going to allow you, Satan, to take it away from him, to destroy it. You can do anything to him, but you cannot kill him." Wow. I mean, there's going to be some deaths in the end times, no doubt, in the tribulation, in the great tribulation, whatever you want to call it. There's going to be some deaths there. But in this particular person, God says, you know, you can torture him. Torture is, hey, having all your kids, bunches of kids, and then one day you wake up and they're all dead. I think that's a form of torture, wouldn't you? I think a form of torture could be putting stuff all over your body and you scraping the boils off and having boils and can't hardly move. And I think that's a form of torture, wouldn't you think? I think it would be a form of torture. I think having friends that come along and judge you of, you know, you must have done something wrong, you backslider, nobody knows, Job, you've been doing some bad stuff, because this stuff doesn't come without a cause, my friend. You know what the Bible says, Job, right? There's another form of torment and torture is having your Christian brothers who are your friends. This is the worst. This is the best kind. This is the worst of the best. This is the best of the worst. Your friends bring biblical truth to you and use biblical truth to condemn you for what you're doing. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Of course you have. Oh, that's torture to me. That'd be the worst torture of all. I'd rather be dead, I think, than have that. I mean, that's like tormenting, right? Y'all don't want to call it. Is that tormenting to y'all or just to me? No, that's tormenting. In the end time, there's going to be some torment. There's going to be some trouble. Some people are going to have some real problems. Some things are going. But you know what? In this case, God set up the challenge. It wasn't Satan. Satan had no control over Job. You know why? Because Job sought God first, and God added to him. And what God adds to you, friend, he builds a hedge. He builds. It's not your prayers. Your prayers don't build nothing unless they're in agreement with God. Your prayers don't build a hedge. God builds a hedge, and you pray that you keep your heart right with God so that a hedge will stay there. That's what prayer does about a hedge. Oh, I built this hedge. I built this hedge of protection. Yeah, that's why the devil keeps attacking you, because you built it. That's the problem. Okay, Chandler, why do you keep getting why does the enemy keep getting evicted? Because you built the hedge. You built the thing. Wasn't no hedge. Didn't come from God. Oh, I claim a hedge. I claim a hedge. I claim the hedge of God. I claim the hedge of God around my stuff. Yeah, if you got your stuff from God, friend, you don't have to claim a hedge. God claims the hedge for you. All you do, your prayer should be about staying right with God and that your children stay right with God. Which Job was very concerned about if you read the book. Job's really awesome. So what are you saying? I'm saying the tribulation, the great tribulation, is going to be something like that. Could be that God may allow at some time in your life without a great tribulation that everything gets stripped from you. What are you going to do then? Oh, I don't want to lose my stuff, Brother Chandler. Are you sure that, oh, my God. I know I've had the same fears and the same thoughts, so don't feel bad. Me too. I've gone through that. Do you know what I've decided, friend, over the years? I've decided, you know what? You know, Yeah, all these people that so afraid of the Antichrist, so afraid of, you know, whatever, how bad he is. Oh, God, we can't be here for that because he's going to be so bad. He's going to come take our stuff. He's going to come kill us. He's going to chop our heads off. I'm going, you know what? I told God, I said, you know what? I'm going to say it right now on the air. You want to come take away my stuff? Come and get it. You want to put me in jail? Come and do it. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid for you to come and torture me. I mean, I don't like it. I may fall apart. I don't know. But I've decided that I'm going to go, God, I don't care what happens. You can strip me of everything. Take everything away from me. But you know what it's going to do? If I got Jesus, it's going to do nothing but unlock the glory of God. That's what happened with Job. Job went through an experience that you and I should be wishing we could go through, and that is most people fear, what will I do if everything was taken away from me? What would I do if everything was taken away from me? What would I do? That's your greatest fear, friend, right now. Oh, would I deny Jesus? If they came and tried to take everything away from me and torture me, put me in prison, would I deny Jesus? Well, Job had the illustrious experience and the glorious privilege of having all that done to him and was able to come through it and say, though you slay me, God, I will still praise you. And when God said, okay, you passed the test, then Job came out on the other side of it. It was the most glorious thing that any human being could ever go through. You know why? Because he dealt with the fear of losing everything and then denying God. Hallelujah. All the schemes of Satan might come get you. I bind the devil, bind the devil, bind the devil, bind the devil. Friend, if you're what your buildings of God, you don't have to try to protect it. God will protect it for you. Yeah, get insurance and get all this. I'm for all that stuff. Be led by God. But when you smite a real man of God, what comes out of him? What comes out of a real man or woman of God when you smite them, when you put them in prison, when you crucify them, when you lock them up, when you torture them? What comes out of a real woman or man of God? I'm going to tell you what's going to come out of you. It's going to be glory to God. Though I be slain, I will not forsake you. I will not deny you. I will not give in. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro said, I will not bow to you, oh, King. Even if my God does not deliver me, I will not forsake my God. And Job went through that experience as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through that. They had the thing of they were going to lose it all in the fire. It was going to burn them up. It burned up the people that threw them in, and it didn't touch them. What's that a picture of? Oh, Brother Chandler, but you can't apply that to the rapture days because, you know, the fire, it's going to be a different kind of fire. Really? Oh, God, help me, Jesus. They were thrown into the fire. It burned up everybody else. And yet in the midst of it, what came forth when you strike a man of God, when you try to burn up a man of God and destroy him, what happens? You don't have to be afraid of the destroyer, friend. You don't have to be afraid of the enemy. You don't have to be afraid of God. If God decides to do something, he's going to double you, just like he did Job. And if God decides to you being put in a government, that you have to say, I'm not going to bow down to your image. I'm sorry. Throw me in the fire. I go gladly. But in the midst of the fire, friend, what shows up is the glorious Son of the living God. That's what shows up when you've got something of God going on. If you built your own kingdom, you can guarantee you'll be burned up just like those other guys were burned up. But if you're of God, if you're serving Jesus, I guarantee you, you will have nothing but revelation from Jesus. Every time they struck Jesus with trying to set him up with a conspiracy, every time they tried to destroy him, take him down, mess him up in front of the people so he would say they could call him a blasphemer, every time they struck him with some lawyer thing with questions that knew nobody could stand up under, he stood up because what came out of him, what came out of Jesus when they struck him with those lies was, oh, God, miraculous revelation from heaven that blew everybody away. friend, don't be afraid to be stricken. Don't be afraid to be smitten. Don't be afraid to be rejected, because if you truly are in the kingdom of God and living for Jesus, he will, if God decides to take something away from you, he's going to test you to see what you will do and what you will say. And then when you come through it, you're going to go, oh, my God, I just made it through. My greatest fear, I now realize that because you were with me, Jesus, I did not deny you when everything was taken away from me and I was stripped of everything. I said, God, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. Friend, if you can't do that, you may not make it through the tribulation. I'll guarantee you that. Who are you with? Whose side are you on? What God are you serving? What religion do you really believe in? Let them come strip you. Don't fear the IRS. What do you fear the IRS for? Jesus told Peter, he said, guy, go down there and go fishing. The IRS after us, yeah. You know I don't have any money with me, but I want to get some miracle money. Go down there and go fishing. First fish you catch. Yeah, it's going to be money for our taxes. Yeah, I don't have to pay the tax. I'll probably get around it. But you know what? Yeah, let's go ahead and pay them. I want to pay the taxes. That was Jesus talking. God provided, friend. What are you worried about? You're worried. Part of you is not serving God. You're worried because you're not even sure you're right with Jesus. You're worried because you have wrong doctrines floating through your being that lie to you and tell you things that are not right, that misguides your thinking. Well, one of the greatest times that's ever going to be in the whole earth is misguided your thinking. Now you fear the very thing that God wants to glorify himself through. And when you get stricken and smitten or accused or are falsely lied about, oh, God. You know what? That should bring glory out of you. If it's not, that's why you're going to be keep being smitten until the glory comes out. As long as bitterness and resentment and fear and what are they going to take away from me keeps coming out of you, you haven't given your stuff to God. Your stuff didn't come from God. It came from you. You did it. I did it. If fire can burn it up, then that's a problem that you better be glad God is solving right now. If he burns it up for you now, you ought to be thankful he's burning it up for you now to show you that you didn't get that from him, that that came from you and your manipulation and your whatever thing you got going on. Yeah. Wake up, Randy Chandler, PGN, Body of Christ. You're sleeping with false doctrine. You're sleeping with lies. You're sleeping with the enemy and don't even know it. Well, I could go on and on with this. When you get rejected by men, I mean, when you're truly of God, when you get rejected by people, you know, Leah, y'all know who Leah is? Remember Rebecca and Rachel and Leah? Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, and he really loved Rachel. Remember that? This is an amazing revelation when you get a hold of this. Talk about being rejected of men and people not approving of you. Maybe you got connived into a situation you had nothing to do with. It wasn't really your fault. That's what happened with Jacob and Leah. Leah was manipulated into marrying Jacob. She didn't really want Jacob necessarily. She was wheeled and dealed by her father. I'd like to have been there and seen that, how they covered that one up. And Jacob never did love her. You read the Bible, you read Leah was the one he didn't like. She had slow eyes, it says, whatever slow eyes are. Somebody tell me what slow eyes is sometime, I'd like to know. Said Leah had slow eyes. Rachel obviously had quick eyes, beautiful eyes maybe or something, quick, sharp, I don't know what it was. Leah was kind of slow, probably not really all that cute. Jacob seemed to like to have sex with her. He had a bunch of children with her, right? Yeah. And he had a lot of kids. And Leah kept thinking, you know, as many children as I give him, he's going to love me now. Rachel hadn't given me any children. I'm giving him all the children. He comes over to my place all the time, and, you know, I mean, we got kids everywhere from him. So, you know, he ought to be loving me by now. And he never did love her, friend. What the Bible says, not me. I'm not just saying that. I'm not making this stuff up. This is the Bible that we have. You know what God did? Lazy eyes. Thank you. Martine got right on top of that. Thank you, Martine. Lazy eyes. Martine, thank you for straightening me out on that one. Lazy eyes. Lazy eyes. She wasn't lazy with having children, though, bless God. I think you can't be too lazy and have kids, right? You're having kids, you can't be lazy at all. But I guess her eyes were just lazy. Probably the only part of it was lazy. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. Martine distracted me. Stop that, Martine. Hallelujah. All right, so here's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Then we're gonna move on to the next level. We're gonna take communion after all this. Are y'all ready for this? Okay. You know, I love you, right? You know, I even love these guys that talk about this stuff. I talk pretty rough about this because it's such a disastrous doctrine. I just despise it, if you can't tell by now. And I love you enough to tell you, even though some people really got mad at me about it. Oh, well. I hope they'll come back. But anyway, so here's what I'm trying to talk about, friend. If you haven't been accepted by the bank, if you haven't been accepted by your husband, your boyfriend, the one you want to love you, and he never quite makes the move. You know, what happened with this was so amazing. I want you to think about this in the light of tribulation and trouble and rejection from men and who your source is. Because Leah, God came to Leah, and God said this. Now, go read it for yourself. I don't know what the exact scripture is. It's somewhere, I think it's Genesis. It's Genesis 29. Genesis 29. There it is. Just 20. And here's what I want to say, and then I'm going to stop. God told Leah, he says, honey, because Jacob doesn't love you, because he doesn't love you, I'm going to love you. Oh, isn't that awesome? That's the God we serve. If you get rejected and you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you get rejected for whatever thing it is, friend, if you keep loving God and trusting God, he's going to do you like he did Leah. He said, Leah, I see that he doesn't love you. I see that something's not going on there. I see that that bank is rejecting you because of your credit. I see the things going on in your life that you don't have what it takes according to men. I see. But you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. That's what the Lord says. I'm going to love you, Leah, and you're going to bear the seed of the Messiah. Not Rachel, not the favorite one, not the beautiful one, not the quick-eyed one, the work-hard eyes, lazy eyes, busy eyes, whatever, sparkly eyes, not Mrs. Sparkly Eyes, but no, you, lazy eyes. Because that man has not loved you, I am going to love you, Leah, and you are going to bear the seed of Judah, the tribe of Jesus. Go read it for yourself. I know it's hard to believe. That's exactly what it says. And let me tell you something, friend. Whatever trouble you're going through, tribulation, non-tribulation, whatever you believe about all that, let me tell you, whatever's going on, you just keep your eyes on him. And he's going to show you that if nobody else loves you and nobody else seems to want you, you will get rejected for whatever reason that it is. God says, I will love you. I will love you. I will show you favor. I will bless you. I will call you forth. You will be blessed, though nobody wants to bless you necessarily. I will favor you, and you will bear the seed of my son. And though you're the unfavored one, and Rachel, your sister, is the favored one who Jacob just loves and can't wait to come home and be with her instead of you, oh, he comes over your tent at night, yeah, making babies. But you know what? I'm going to love you, Leah. And that's what Leah did. She bore the son, the tribe of Judah, which bore forth the Messiah, the son of a living God, friend. Make God your source. Keep serving him no matter what. Whether you get your money, whether you get your deliverance, whether you get your whatever, if you got it banked on that, if I get my money, if I get my house, if I get my home, if I get that husband, if I get that wife, if I get those children, then I'm really going to serve God. But if I don't, I don't know, man. God's not with me, I guess. No. That's not what Leah did. That's not what Job did. That's not what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. That's not what they did. And I pray to God that's not what we do either, that we do what they did. We do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We do what Joseph did. Hallelujah. God, I pray for your people tonight as we take communion tonight. I thank you, Jesus, right now for your love, for those who have been rejected, despised, put aside. I pray, God, that you show that somehow, some way, you show your love for them and you give them favor that you don't give the favored ones. You give them love that you don't love the favored ones with, the ones that seem to have it all together, the ones that seem that everybody likes. Oh, I can never be like that. Take glory in that, friend. Let God love you. He will. In Jesus' name. All right, let's take communion together tonight. Thank you, God. Thank you for being here. Sorry if I get loud and yell through the phone. I think I get pretty loud sometimes. I can't tell because I'm not on the other end. Get your communion, if you would, and let's take communion tonight together. Every day, two or three times a day, I'm taking a communion cup and a little, there's a little bread and a little wafer that's in there, and I'm praying over it two or three times a day, believing God that if that's supposed to turn into the body and blood of Jesus, that it's going to do it, he'll do it for me because he'll know I'll tell it no matter what. And if it doesn't, he'll show me how it turns into his body and blood in another way. However it's going to happen, I know it turns into the body and blood of Jesus. I just don't know when or in what manner that it does it. I know it's not just a type and shadow. It's much more than a type and shadow. But what it is, really, I don't know yet. God's going to show me because I'm asking him. Every day I pray two or three times over this cup and this wafer. Every day. So pray for me that God will open it up for me. All right, and then I'll get it. Hallelujah. All right. All right, thank you for giving tonight. Thank you for making sure we get into our studio. Hallelujah. We're about $640,000 away from it right now. $640,000 away. Maybe a little. Maybe a little bit less than that. But it's adding up. We had another $800 come in for the match money. Came in, I think, yesterday or today. $800 for that. And then some people sending money for match money. Noel started that. And thank you, Noel, for that. We love you. Thank you for what you did. And amen. Praise God. Karen Cincinnati gave me $200 and wanted it to be for me. I decided, if you guys don't mind, if you're listening tonight, Terrence and Phoenicia, I'm going to turn that money into money for the ministry for match money, if you don't mind. They said, go take your wife out. And so I did, but I still have paid it with a debit card, right? So I still got the cash. I got some cash out of it. And so I'm going to take that cash and put it in for the match money. So I guess that'll make that $1,000. Wow, that'll make that $1,000. match money this week. I just thought about that. They said, Tanisha said, we don't mind. Thank you. So you're listening. Thank you for letting me know about that. I decided to do that. They gave me $200, and it blessed me and just said, keep it for your personal, whatever, go out to dinner and all that kind of thing, and I really appreciate that. But, you know, I decided to dedicate it to I just got an approval on that. That was a quick approval. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Y'all still love me tonight. I know you do. I can feel it. Hallelujah. I love you too. And thank you for being with us. We're going to take communion now. Still get ready for that if you would. And Martin sends me the lazy guy thing. I think it was lazy guy. I think you're right. Thank you for that. All right. If I ever mess up something, you guys make sure to straighten me out as quickly as possible if you want to. I give you permission to do it. Keep me on track and stuff. I get to preaching and I say all kinds of things. Slow eyes. Still think this funny. Okay. So, oh, man. I'm so thankful. I love the people of God. And, you know, like I said, we like about $640,000 now instead of $700,000, something like that. We a little less than that, actually, $637,635, somewhere in there. Yeah, maybe $635,000 right now. That's all we like, $635,000. You know, we start out with $700,000 now. All we like is $635,000. Praise God. Okay, so let's go here and take communion. I'm getting lost here. I got so much running through my brain. Oh, my gosh. I get really caught up, and I do. I really do. I get lost. Lost in the arms of Jesus. Yeah. All right, so let's take communion and lift up your bread. Let's lift it up tonight. And 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says, Paul the Apostle said, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed. Lived betrayed. What happens when you get betrayed, my brother and my sister? What do? You break bread. And you give thanks. And you say, let's eat Jesus' body. Jesus said, this is my body. Jesus said, which is for you. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake. And we bless and we break. And we thank you, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. We lift up the cup in the same way. Also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. Let's drink. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious body, your precious blood. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your DNA, for your body is your DNA, your blood is your DNA, for the genetic code of Jesus, of Christ, of his life, that swallows up our DNA, the death in our DNA, swallows up the death in our blood, our tainted blood, our tainted memories, and grafts within us the DNA of Jesus' body, his word, the word of God, the changing of our souls. Our souls will change so that our bodies will change, so that our blood will change. And we thank you, Jesus, right now, proclaim in Jesus' name, I declare and decree over the body of Christ tonight that whoever curses you will be cursed and whoever blesses you will be blessed. Yeah. Curses you will be cursed and whoever blesses you will be blessed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I speak over the bodies that all this blood and body that we just ate going through the body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus going through their bodies, begins to transform their blood, transform their bodies, transform every cell, bring life to them in Jesus' name, and cause death to be swallowed up in the victory of Jesus' body and the power of his resurrected body inside you in the name of Jesus. I declare health and healing in Jesus' name. I command death to be destroyed. Grave, where's your victory? Death is where's your sting? In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We are victorious in Christ Jesus through his death, burial, and his resurrection in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In the resurrection, the Bible says, we're going to talk about this real soon, it's for justification, just as if you never did. That's what the resurrection does. It brings you into that place, literally, where it's just as if you never did that sin. Just as if you never did it. Just as if it was never in your bloodline to you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Praise God. Be healed and be delivered in the name of Jesus. Be prosperous and be blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's go here tonight and let's pray over these offerings tonight. So, all right. I'm going to add, now that I got permission, I'm going to add Terrence and Tanisha's everything. I'm going to add that to that. $200. So it's going to go down. We'll go down at the bottom. All right, got it. All right, let me check real quick and see if there's any other offerings that came in. Give me just a moment before we get started here. Might take a minute, take a little break, get you some water. You want? All right, give me a minute here. I'm going to get this ready, and then we'll be with you. Give me a minute here, I'm getting this together. Okay, I'm still here. Give me a minute.
All right, let's do this thing. Here we go. Praise God. Okay. Let's do this thing. Hallelujah. All right. Thank God to everybody who gives and helps us. We appreciate it very, very much. And all right, let's pray for Andrea tonight. $5, thank you, Andrea, for your love for God and for what you do for him and how you serve him and the service of God you give to God. God's going to reward you for that. What you do for the animals, he loves what you do for the earth and how you help animals and the creatures, and God loves all that. And I think God wants to use it as an example of how we should love God's animals and take care of them and not just treat them. You know, one of the things my dad taught me as a young boy was about animals. I treated animals a little rough as a kid, and he saw me doing it, and he said, "I don't know why you do that, Randy, but we don't treat animals like that." Animals, and he taught me about animals, and I didn't know. You know, I was a kid, and I saw other kids treat animals rough, and I just thought that's the way we did animals. And he taught me. You know, my dad was a very good man, and did a lot of great things. He just loved God, and he's a good old Baptist, but praise God, he's a good Baptist, and saved, and really loved God. But so anyway, so God bless Andrew for that. Lord, we know that God's going to open up the whole animal kingdom. Animals are going to be so abused in one fashion or form in the earth. And therefore, one of these days, they're going to turn us. And the Bible says the animals are going to turn on us, and there's a reason for that. And so God's, because animals turn on things that they don't respect, that they don't honor, that they think are enemies. And God's going to allow that to happen. If you read the book of Revelation, see it's going to happen. So, amen. God's going to show you how to help intervene in the animal world and help the animals of the world and bring pleasure to God by doing that. And he loves that about you. And it's a really beautiful thing. Amen. All right. Most of you got Andrea's video that she sent me. I don't know if you guys got all that. I sent it to everybody. If you're not on our text alerts, you didn't get it. I tried to send it to a few that are not on our text alert, and I believe everybody got it, but a very, very powerful, confirming video that blew my mind. And, you know, I was totally shocked that actually somebody had that information, man. I mean, seriously, it was like, I thought the guy had been watching our show. Honest to God, I thought, this guy's just watching our show, and he's, you know, and this shows you how I can be sometimes. And sure enough, he had had that information since 2018. So it just blew me away, and Andrea's responsible for that. Thanks, Andrew, for blowing me away. Yeah. May God reward you for that in a blessed, wonderful way. We really appreciate that. Nikki, oh, you didn't get it, Nikki? It's in our text. You get our regular text? Okay, remind me, and I'll send it to you. You don't get our regular text? No way. Anybody else who doesn't get our text, sometimes my texts do get messed up. You know, in the world of computers and phones, sometimes people say, "How come you don't text me anymore?" I said, "I didn't know that I wasn't texting you because I send group texts, right? So I don't look at every text. I send group texts. So if you're not getting our group text, if you can remind me and let me know about it, then I will put you back on there. I didn't know that you were off." So. And other people, I think Martine said she wasn't on there. Jeannie said she wasn't on, and some other people. So somehow, I know you guys used to be on there. I thought you were. Maybe you haven't worked, but let me know, and I'll get you on there. So I appreciate you sticking with me on that until I get it done. All right, Anya. Thank you, Anya, for that $5. We just bless you tonight, Anya, in Jesus' name. May God open you up to the reality of the power of God. To the reality, Anya says, "I didn't get it." Oh, Anya didn't get it either. So you're not on our. So Anya is not on our. You are not on our. All right, Anya. So you're not on our text alerts, where I tell when the shows are coming on. Because last night Jeff and Yuki said they didn't get it, and it's because they hadn't looked on their, they hadn't looked on that group text. It's on the group text. If you're on the group text, and if you get the regular text about when shows are coming on, who's on the show, then it's on there. You should go look for it. It's a YouTube, and then right below or above it, it has Randy's. I said something like, "This is Randy's information." About the Mark of the Beast, something like that. It's on there. So if you're not on our group text, then let me know. All right. So I wouldn't be surprised, but. All right. Okay. All right, Anya. And I'm praying over Anya right now. So thank you, Anya, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Anya, for helping her see, you know, what you're doing in the end times, to give a revelation, Father, on what's really happening. That all the missing parts, that God's going to give you missing parts that people have missing parts. All the missing parts, God's going to start showing you missing parts. Are you going to start finding missing treasures? I think I've given you this word before about missing treasures, finding treasures. Okay, Nikki said she found it. So she, if you're on the group text, yeah, I thought Nikki was on our group text, but I wasn't sure. So she just checked on the group text, and sure enough, it was on there. So that's already happened with several people. They said, I don't have it yet, but if they look on the group text, it's on the group text. All right? If you're not on the group text, then you don't have it yet unless I send it to you special. All right? So filling in is, so it's like God, the things on you that are missing, missing with, you know, what do I not understand about the scripture? What's missing about it? What part of it do I not have? What part of it does the body of Christ not have yet? Missing parts, missing things, like missing. We talked about the puzzle the other night, how that each one of us has that we're part of the puzzle. We're a piece of the puzzle, and puzzle pieces that are missing, treasures, things that are missing, that are lacking. God's going to use you to intercede and pray that those missing parts get put in their place. And that treasures be found, and that the treasure room, God's opening up you up to the treasure room. That's not just natural treasures, that's spiritual treasures, which are even greater, but natural treasures are really cool. But spiritual treasures open us up to natural treasures, believe that or not. They really do. So missing spaces, missing places, missing things, God opening you up to that. All right. All right. Nicole, $5.55 building fund. Thank you. That turns that $5.55 into $5.55 more. 11 something or other, 11.10. So yeah, there you go. Just doubled that $5.55 because she put building fund on there. And so thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Father, thank you for the heart you've given her to nurture people, to give people the mysteries, the mystery realm, the mysterious realm. You know, that's the part about Joseph. Joseph, you know, the whole realm about dreams and visions are mysteries, because just like Pharaoh, when Pharaoh had that dream, he had a lot of smart people who were really into all interpretation and were really good at it. And I think they wouldn't still be there had they not been doing a pretty good job, right? I mean, he would, back then, if you didn't interpret right, they killed you. You know, they whacked you, they took you out and, you know, hang it. I mean, that's how they, so obviously the fact that he had a crew there of interpreters, they should have been able to interpret that dream. I mean, we look at it now and go, yeah, that'd be easy. But back then, it was a mystery. They couldn't understand, you know, so mysteries. You've been called to mysteries, to understand mysteries. And, you know, and so just like Joseph misunderstood a lot of the mysteries until he got into a place with God where at a certain time, at a certain place, in the process of him working through all of his struggles and battles of mistreatments and why did this happen, why did that happen, and all that stuff, and God brought him to the place of what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. When he entered into that place, what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good, then he entered into a permanent thing, I guess, of being in the secret place to understand mysteries and secrets. And so that's why God put him there in Egypt, in prison, in that place, because he was a mystery revealer, especially in the realm of dreams or interpretation of anything. He could interpret people. He, you know, or some people call it discerning people, knowing people. He could interpret things. He interpreted. It wasn't just dreams he interpreted. He interpreted people. He could look at people and interpret, you know, what kind of person that they were. Yeah, that's how good he was. So the mystery realm of being able to, he had such a passion for mysteries because that's how God raised him up, was to unlock a mystery. So everybody tried to unlock that dream, that mysterious dream Pharaoh had. He couldn't sleep anymore. It was messing with him. He was obsessed with it. Oh, my God, I've got to have the answer to this. This is important. He was going to kill some of his people, you know, take, you know, all of his people who said they knew how to interpret dreams. Nobody could interpret it at all that satisfied him. So they got Joseph, and Joseph, of course, was the mystery revealer. And that's one thing that you have a passion for, is revealing mysteries and knowing mysteries, knowing what's behind the scenes, what's going on. You know, that's the prophetic part of you. And so God's opening that up for you in Jesus' name to unlock things. And it's a process, right? Just like with Joseph. Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens through the process of coming to the place where what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. That was the peak of his entering into the secret place or the mystery realm, where interpreting things, you can have a dream without walking in the mysterious realm, in the mystery realm, in the secret place. You can have dreams of all kinds of things, visions. But he didn't understand it, right? It was a mystery to him what that meant. All right, so you see what I'm saying. All right, Sally, $7. Thank you, Jesus, for Sally. Lord, I thank you for Sally, too. I thank you, Lord, for her, to her passion to be a woman of God and want to do great things. There's something in you, Sally, that wants to do great and awesome things. You think that just came into you because you, you know, are having some fantasy land, eating a bunch of pizza that's giving you fantasy. No, that's God. God has given you a passion and a desire to be wealthy, to be known, and to be you know, that place where God has chosen you. And you feel chosen. Some part of you feels chosen. There's a part of you that feels called and chosen. You're just trying to, just like Joseph was, trying to figure out, okay, show me you've chosen me and you favored me, God, in a dream, two of them confirming back to back. Wow, wow. But how does it work out? So, you know, as you just keep serving God and doing what God says, you know, and working your way through that, those things that that the world, where the world mistreats us, where the world, you know, sometimes it's the thoughts of oppression, you know, of atmospheres that we're in, cities that we live in, the people that we're around, being able to learn how to process, how to be victorious in the midst of a atmosphere that's oppressive or whatever, you know, to God showing you how to, using your desire to be a woman of God with authority and power and wealth to help and to do and to bless. You've already proven yourself that that's the way you are. That's the heart God's giving you. And so God's unlocking that within you so that you can finish the job. And this whole thing about, you know, that passion God's giving you is there. And as you learn how to work through the atmosphere that you're in, because once you learn how to work in the atmosphere you're in, without the atmosphere controlling you, but you control the atmosphere, so to speak. In other words, you don't let it control you. God shows you how to do that and walk in that and live in that and develop that. That's your stairway, your ladder to the wealth and the woman of God and being that sanctified, set apart, you know, God-fearing woman that's in you, in Jesus' name, and opening that up for you. Hallelujah. All right, Angela Lenham from my South Carolina girl, $8.88. Thank you, Angela, in Jesus' name. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being, you know, available for God. Your availability to God is important because, you know, and sometimes our availability has to be there on a consistent basis. God has to know at any time, can I come? Okay, Angela, I've chosen you. Can I come to you anytime? Day or night, when you're busy doing something else, can I get your attention? Can you be drawn away with me, though you're into something you're really into? Can I draw you away for a moment, for 30 minutes, 30 seconds, 3 hours, 3 days. Can I draw you away into me? Yeah, and that's the training God's giving you is he will wait till you're really caught up into something you really enjoy doing, and he wants you to enjoy doing things. But all of a sudden, it's like God goes, will you come away with me? And the whole thing is, will you come away with me? Wow. And that's the thing that he's doing with you, training you, showing you that, you know, the purposes of that is that, so you're busy doing something else and you're enjoying yourself. And the Lord says, come draw, be drawn away with me. Come and let me draw you away from that. Will you come and be with me now? And the whole thing is that he has to put you in a place where you have to choose, right? Like in the Garden of Eden, they had only one thing that they couldn't do. That's the only time in the world we had one thing we couldn't do, and they couldn't do that right. Isn't that amazing? They couldn't do that right. Yeah. God always gives us a choice. That's why the tree was in the middle of the garden, to give us a choice. So he gives you a choice. And in that choice, it develops in you when you choose, yes, Lord, I will come with you now. I want to be with you. Yes, this I can put this aside for now. I can get back to it later. I want to be with you. And as you draw it away with him, he develops in you this thing of catching you up with him anytime he wants you, anytime he needs you, anytime, any place, anywhere. You know, Smith Wigglesworth was known for that. He would be sitting at the table eating dinner with people, you know, visiting people at their house. You know, he was a guest in their house. And he would get up from the table and just walk off and go into a room somewhere, not say anything to anybody. People thought he was rude, man. What was wrong with him? But what was going on was God was saying, come away with me, Smith. He would feel it in his spirit. He would drop his food, the great meal, the great company. He would get up and he would walk away without explaining anything to anybody. That was part of the test. And so that's why God was able to use him in such miraculous intervention, because anytime God said, come on, he would go. He didn't say, oh, no, I'm busy. Let me finish eating my steak first. It's my favorite dessert. Let me eat this first, then I'll come away with you. No, right now? Yes, sir. I'd rather have you than have this food. Thank you for the food, but I'd rather have you than have this food. Like Mary, which chose the greater thing, the better thing. Right? She chose the better thing. Martha was busy doing the things that needed to be done. But Mary chose because the moment was there where he was there. If he came all the time, there every day, it might be different. But he was there and like, who's going to come spend time with me when I'm here? Mary forgot everything, even the condemnation from her own sister and the pressure. You know, Jesus, she even said, Jesus, why don't you tell her to come help me? She said, Mary, that shows the greater thing, the better thing. Yeah, oh, it's a process God brings us through. Amen. Cheryl, $10. We have two Cheryls, one from Florida. This is a Florida Cheryl. This is another Florida. Another Cheryl. And she, thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for training her, for teaching her how to activate your love, how to activate your victories, how to activate things. God, there's a way to activate the things. There are things that please God. There are things that don't please God. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching her how to please you, showing her how to activate those things that please you, to activate the pleasure of the Lord, to activate new things, to bring, So thank you, Jesus, for that with Cheryl, God, how to activate a relationship, how to deactivate one. Because you can activate something and it not be good, you have to deactivate it and then learn to activate only the things that God wants, you know. Yeah, so God's showing you how to activate and deactivate. Sometimes we get into things, right? Then we realize, oh, God, what did I do? Exactly. But no problem. You know, God just shows us how to deactivate. Sometimes it causes a little trouble, a little pain, a little sorrow, little trouble. We have to realize that if we got into some little something that we're supposed to, then we're going to pay a little bit of a price for that. It's not going to be bad. It's not going to mess us up, but we may suffer a little bit for it. And because the suffering of it, Cheryl, is what teaches us how not to do it again, right? It's like if I keep getting burned with fire, then it's like going, okay, God, if I keep getting burned with fire, then why do I keep doing this? Because you won't keep doing it, right? And so that's kind of the same thing. It does with me all the time. It's just a human thing. That's how children learn. You know, everybody learns how to do that And so it's really amazing how that, you know, God does that, and how he uses things to teach us, you know, don't touch that. That'll burn you. Right? Just the way a kid grows up and learns. Same thing we learned. Learning with God is not perfect. It's just like growing up with a kid. A kid learns how to, oh, I'm not going to, a kid knows his brain, I'm not going to touch that again because that thing will burn me and hurt me. Exactly. So what do? You learn to things to stay away from, to disconnect from, and things that you can connect with. And it takes time to do that. And so, yeah. All right, let's go here, and that's a wonderful thing. Hang on a minute. All right. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Where am I at here, Gerald? Mahogany, $10. Pray for Dominique, my husband. Well, we pray for Dominique tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for him. We thank you, Jesus, that, you know, sometimes we have to, sometimes in our relationship with people, we have to let them, you know, if we see that they're not going to be able to discipline themselves about things, we have to let them be out of control about something enough to where it wakes them up, you know, with things. God has to, you know, sometimes God, we interfere with God waking people up. Sometimes God has to wake somebody up a certain way, and we have to let God do that. And it's hard to watch sometimes. It's hard to watch God wake up your mate or wake up your children or wake up somebody that you love or that you're close to wake them up. Because sometimes waking people up is a matter of them letting them, giving them over to Satan. You know, I'm not saying you're going to do this with him, but sometimes we have to learn to give things over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, for the saving of the soul. Because when some people get to that point, there's different levels of this, but some people get to the point where, like Paul the Apostle, turned over people to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. Why? For the saving of their soul, right? Sometimes that's where it comes to. So we have to learn how to, you know, that's kind of the highest level of something you don't want to have to do, but if you have to do it, Paul did it, the apostle. He did it all the way down to, you know, we try everything to change somebody, try to help them, then you have to just let go of them. And when God gets a hold of them, and letting God do it instead of us, because if you're trying to fix them, if I'm trying to fix my kids or my family or my mate or whatever, if I'm trying to fix them, believe me, they get worse. They don't get better. Right? So you learn how to let them go into God's hands and let God deal with them however he wants, and don't tell God how to do it. Right? That's hard for me. I want to say, okay, God, now be nice, you know, but, you know, he says, just Randy, can you just trust me? I'm God. I do things in justice. I don't just, you know, yeah, even Paul the Apostle gave somebody over to Satan, right? I mean, that doesn't even sound right, but it's in the Bible. Oh, that's mind-boggling. So there's different levels of giving people over to God. And then, you know, God may say, you know, just don't mess with it, don't interfere with it, because I'm going to deal with them where it's going to be a quick, permanent thing, or I'll deal with them quickly, and it'll be done forever, so to speak. Yeah. So giving thanks to God at whatever level it is and letting God deal with it. So thank you for Mahogany. God, give Mahogany strength to do that. Give Mahogany the strength and the ability to love and to have compassion and mercy without trying to stop God from doing what he wants to do. Amen. And let God have his way. It's one thing to say it. It's a whole other thing to actually do it. I say things all the time, and sometimes the Lord tells me, but you're not really letting me do it, Randy. Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry, God, I'm trying to control that one. Sorry. Yeah, so we have to let him give it. We have to give it to him and let him take hold of it. Because he knows, we have to realize that God knows what he's doing, y'all. Mahogany, Randy, he knows what he's doing. Can we trust him? Yes, you can. All right. Felicia, $15. Thank you, Felicia. haven't heard from you. You better check in with me, girl, before I come out there and try to come find you. If I have to come looking for you, I will, you know. Don't mess with me. Praying you're doing well. God bless you in Jesus' name. May you learn, you know, may God teach you things quickly. May you learn things quickly. In other words, you know, Jesus even learned obedience to the things he suffered. You might Google it to find that scripture. Christ learned through the things he suffered. Christ learned obedience through the things he suffered. If Christ learned obedience through the things he suffered, how much else? We don't need to misunderstand that scripture, that it's like God throws us into the valley of the shadow of death because we didn't do something right. If Christ learned obedience through the things he suffered, you know, I mean, and he never sinned. Even. And so God is really showing you how to learn so that you learn quickly. And I think Jesus learned rather quickly, right? He had this quick thing going on. Like, you know, he learned fast. And I think you have that in you to learn fast, to learn quick. Some things are more slow and more difficult because they're more personal. Especially areas where we have suffered pain and heartache, and so those things are a little bit harder to deal with, but God wants to show you how to, you know, get things over with quickly, deal with them quickly, get to the point, you know, get to the point quicker and deal with things faster so that you can move, because God wants you to move along faster. So the faster we learn, the faster we move along, and God wants you to, you know, move along quickly. The children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, and then they never got out of it, but their children did, but they didn't. So you can see that happens. God appointed them to be in Canaan, but they didn't make it because they didn't learn, right? So it's really all about learning. And you're a fast learner. God's going to show you how to learn fast. And, not be afraid to suffer. Talk about that tonight in the message. Don't be afraid to suffer, right? If you really trust in God, you really believe in God, you can suffer things. And when you're suffering them in Christ, it will bring you light and glory and revelation and victory. And double your money, double you for your trouble you. Yeah, Joe. Yeah, I meant to say exactly what I said. All right, Gary and Mary. All right, Gary and Mary. $18. Thank you, Gary and Mary. Sent me some stuff this week. It was really awesome. I'll have to share some of that stuff with you guys in the future here about some of the things they shared. Excuse me. Gary and Mary always share a scripture. All right. Okay, y'all give me a minute here. Gary and Mary, thank you. Scripture, they always send a scripture. Thank you, Gary and Mary, for that. Building fund. Amen, building fund. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9. If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress. And you will hear us and save us. Yeah. In the calamities, in the distresses, in the plagues. You will save us. Exactly. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, and he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. 2 Chronicles 20, 21, 22. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And they began to sing and praise the Lord, and to praise. And the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Stand in prayer and thanksgiving. Our body is the temple of the Spirit of God. Wow, I just read that. Gary, that's amazing. Gary, Mary, thank you for that. See, that's talking about, I love this stuff because it's talking about how that God protects us and keeps us. This is the real word of God, friend. That's the real word of God. The other things you hear people say, oh, God, we can't be here when the Antichrist. It's like, where do they get that stuff at? I don't know where they get that at. That's just perverted scripture. It's perversion. This is the word of God, what I just read you from Gary Mary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I thank you for Gary Mary. I thank you for their love for the word. And I thank you for their love for truth. I thank you for their ability to be able to, see something that's been taught wrong and change. That Gary and Mary are not afraid to change. Friend, we can't be afraid to change. I could preach this message, but I'm not going to preach it. And I see this thing, Gary and Mary, what God's showing you, how not to be afraid to change. When we make mistakes, what do? We just get up. Peter denied Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus said, hey, man, do you love me? That was his answer for his denial. How would you like to have a friend like that? You deny him, right when he needs you, and later on he says, hey, man, do you love me? I still love you. Do you love me? I'm going to give you some great stuff to do. Feed my sheep. Yeah, we got to get a hold of this friend. And God's going to help us get a hold of this factor of how that the Lord Jesus, doesn't look at us like people look at us. He looks at us completely differently. He knows we're humans. He knows you're more human than you do, right? Yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for Gary and Mary. I thank you, Lord, for using them to disarm the fear of changing, the fear of facing the truth, the fear of looking at truth. I believe this for many years. I look at the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps me, and He changed me. I'm not afraid of that. And they're going to release a thing of don't be afraid, do not fear. I'm with you. If you're not believing something right, I'm going to show you. I'm going to help you. I'm not going to condemn you to hell because you've been misunderstanding things. No, I'm going to change you. I'm going to love you. I love you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to help you. You're going to make it. The Bible says, whatsoever things you're doing that are not right, I can't remember this, Philippians, I think it says, whatsoever things, that you don't do, you're not doing right, I'm going to help you with that. I can't think of the exact scripture, but it's one of my favorites. I can't think of where it's at right now. It's not one of my favorites, but that's one I like a lot. Yeah. Listen, man, we gotta let God. God is going to show us how to let him change us without being afraid and prideful and arrogant that we can't listen to the word of God by the Holy Spirit and change and be changeable. People in the end times that are not going to be changeable are going to die. They're going to die. They go to heaven. They're going to die because they're going to open the door to the enemy by not changing, by not letting God change them. They've already got the mind made up. Bless God. This is the way it is. If I be a man of God, this is going to be it. Even if they haven't heard from God, they stand there and stand on this thing of, and the God tries to change them and they resist it. And President Trump, he's still president. President Trump is still president. He's still president. I'm going, what is wrong with this situation? My gosh, God help us. We need help. I could do that just as easy as him, just as easy. That's why we need God to help us. And I thank you, Lord, for people like Gary and Mary that will help break off this fear of changing, of as long as it's the word of God and the Holy Spirit changes us, we should be thankful when he changes us. God has changed many things with me over the last 40 years or 50. Many times I strongly believe this one thing because somebody taught me that. And I got into the Bible myself and the Word of God myself. And you know what? I had to humble myself. I had to say I was wrong. It was difficult at first. But then I got to where I loved it because God was correcting me. He was helping me. And God used you, Gary and Mary, to break off the fear of God's correctness, God's chastisement. But it's a beautiful thing because it's showing his love. And you guys are a beautiful example of that. You have a beautiful heart for God. For God to change things and move things toward the Word of God, toward what's on the sure foundation. And that's your part of your job, is the sure foundation of God.
that what we build upon by the Lord, by the Word of God, not by some, you know, doctrinal, you know, religious thing, but by what Jesus, who Jesus is. Amen? In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right, that's from both y'all. Kane, $5. Thank you, Kane. Thank you, Lord, for Kane tonight, God. I thank you that Kane, God is entering to a phase of bringing down those things that destroy him and that have kept him bound. God, I thank you that you're showing him that he doesn't have to fear any kind of anything anybody does. God, that whatever gets taken away, that God will restore it. God, I thank you for showing him that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you for showing him that, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for connect. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't have to fear. God's going to show you. You don't have to fear that, you know, if God takes something away from you, then God's going to do like he did Job, because God did allow that to be taken away from him in Job. That was a God thing. Other times, Satan takes away things, then hey, then it wasn't God in the first place. That, or we learn what we did to open the door and not be afraid to learn. What did I do wrong? Not always blaming everybody else, taking conviction for myself, going, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? What did Randy Chandler do wrong? Yeah, and then once you find out what you've done wrong, then you won't do it again, right? I mean, that's what goes on with me. Hallelujah, and that happens to me all the time. God is always doing that with me, changing, rearranging my whole life. I'm not afraid that if something gets taken away from me, that it's gonna, you know, it's gonna. If God takes it away, He's gonna restore it. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. Jesus' name. Help us. Help me. Help us, God. But Lord, I thank you for my brother tonight. I thank you, God, for taking every fear away from him, that change. If other people don't change, if that's what opens up the door for us, because they don't change, then where's God at with us? Right? We're going to find out where God is with us and change us and fix me and change me, correct me. And when he corrects me, then that's the hedge he builds around you. It's the change that's in our life. We don't leave any open doors open for things that, you know, maybe we don't even know. We're ignorant of it. We don't really know that we opened up the door. We didn't do it on purpose. And the enemy came in and took advantage. Well, when in Job's situation, God put that hedge around it. And the only way I can break that hedge is when God allowed it. And then when he allowed it and he was tested, he doubled him. So in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Take away all the fears, all the reservations, that God, that he can trust you in Jesus' name through anything and for anything, God. Hallelujah. All right, Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon tonight. God, I thank you for Shannon. Been having a rough day, discouraged, tired of being alone, tired of being tired of unanswered prayers. Pray for connection with my wife. God gives me help with this woman. Her heart opens, feeling I need help from above. Hey, man, you do need help from above, brother. So do I. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. I thank you, Lord, for my brother. I thank you for helping him, God. Teach him how to, you know, go for the things that cannot be burned up, that cannot be taken away, that Satan can't take him away. The only person to take it away is God, and that's if God wants to prepare us to double us, to multiply us, to increase us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Other than that, what we have that is of God cannot be burned or destroyed. Thinking like that, then our discouragement is less. The discouragement cannot quite hit us the same way. The oppression and the vexing, the fear can hit us because, you know, if we got something from God, then God can't take it. Nobody can take it away but God. And if God chooses to take it away, it's going to take it away for a season like he did with Job and then double us.
So either way, we win. So if we're living in fear because something is being taken away from us or we're never going to get it, then really basically the root is we just need to learn to trust God more. That's with everybody. Amen. He's going to help. You do need help from above. And so do I, bro. For sure. Big time. Oh, my gosh. Really, really big time. Amen and amen. Bless you with that and help you with that. And God show you because your love for him is growing and increasing. All right, Chris, $20 from Texas. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for this fearless thing, this whole fearless thing, being fearless. Fearless, 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 fearless. And thank you, Jesus, that fearlessness only comes through love. Love casts out all fears. Why? Because when you love God and put him first and put his stuff first, then everything you get comes from him, and he protects everything that he gives us that comes from him. Amen? And so if people are living in fear that it can be taken away, then maybe they just need to let it be taken away. You know, so this whole realm of, you know, maybe God will, you know, keep my stuff. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll keep my blessing, you know, maybe I've got something going on and he's watching over that, or he's not. He's going to help you. He's going to show you for sure. And learning to rest in him, God's showing you how to rest in God, how to rest in him. How do you rest in him? Well, fear has to do with unrest. So God's showing you how to love him, how to honor him, how to worship him more and more all the time. And when you do that, Chris, like he's teaching me how to do it. Some areas I'm doing good in, others I'm not doing so good. I'm being really honest with myself and with God about those things. Entering into rest means what takes away my rest? Well, fear, because fear causes you to get in unrest. God's showing you all the things that you don't need to fear and why. Right? Job prayed for his children all the time because he was always afraid. He was afraid that they would fail. He knew he wasn't going to fail, but he was afraid his children would fail. So he hadn't quite learned how to give his children to God yet. You know, and so, in a sense, that what came upon him, he feared did come upon him in that situation because he was always lifting up offerings for his children. Right? So God's showing you how to, enter into that rest place to where, you know, when you make moves that are of God, then God protects his own stuff, right? So sometimes we have things that we haven't given to God yet, completely maybe, you know, whatever it could be. And so we give it to him completely, put it in his hands, and then he builds a hedge around it. Amen. And then all the fear being, you know, messed up goes away. The only fear we have is when God puts it on us, you know, the reverential fear and awe, where he says, okay, you know, get up and move now, go now, move now. And he does do that, and he will do that, and he'll show you how to do that. And we can rest in the fact that, you know, that his stuff, when our stuff is his stuff and his stuff is our stuff, believe me, he's very interested in watching over his stuff because he didn't want his stuff getting messed up either. Right? And he has angels watching over stuff. He'll give you dreams and visions. Some way or another, he's going to wake you up in the middle of the night. He's going to do something to say, hey, I want you to move on this now. Other than that, he'll make it clear other ways. If you're getting to a place where you're not listening really good, believe me, you know, God does with me some areas I'm not listening real good. He'll wake me up somehow or another. But yet, when you yield to the Lord and say, Lord, wake me up if I'm not waking up right, if I'm not listening good, wake me up. I give you permission to really wake me up if I'm going to miss something. And then you enter into rest and trust God. Keep an eye on things, you know, keep watching. I always watch over stuff. But I don't worry about things as much as I used to. I have more rest about things because I'm seeing that when God has control of things, that he's watching over it himself because it's his stuff that he wants, it's his investment. Therefore, he has a hedge put around it. God's going to show you about the hedge thing. It's really powerful. Brings much rest. Yeah. All right. Okay. So, LaShun, $20. Thank you, LaShun, for that 20.
Thank you, Lord, for her. Thank you for her heart, God. Thank you for it. LaShun also has some Bibles that she's wanting to give away. If anybody needs a Bible, LaShun will send you a Bible if you want a Bible. I forget what the name of the Bible is, but it's the Word of God, some lifespan or something like that. I can't remember what it is, but let us know, and we'd love to get you in contact with her. She can get you a free Bible. She will send it to you free. Thank you, Jesus, for LaShun. Thank you, Lord, for that $20. We thank you, Lord, for activating her prosperity in you, God, the prosperity of happiness, the prosperity of purpose, and the prosperity of the acquisitions that you want her to make, acquisitions, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for showing her those things. Open her up to that, where she can trust you to speak to her about things that she doesn't know of. The things that we fear of is the things we don't know enough about. And God, whatever she needs to know about enough about to keep her in the know about, so that she can, because we're children of light. That's what I'm trying to say. We're children of light, so we're in the know about things that God wants us to know about. If he didn't want us to know about it, we don't need to know about it, right? So we ask him, we seek him, and then we wait on him and rest about it. Then he'll show us things that we need to know. You know, that's one of the biggest things of being a prophet. It's like, I'm going, okay, God, am I okay today with you? You're going to show me something about the economy, the government? What's going on? What's up? Am I doing okay with you? And I check in with him. You know, I say, you can, you know, wake me up anytime you want to. Yeah. So I go through that thing myself, you know, because I don't hear something. I'm going, okay, God, what's up? Anything up? You know, and he teaches me more and more to show how to relax and trust him. Check in with him and then trust him. Check in with him and trust him. Check in with him and trust him. And, yeah, because we're children of the light. We are in the know. We are in the know. We need to see something or know something. We're going to see it and know it. Amen. All right. Nikki and Charles, $30. Building fund. Thank you for that. Praying for Stephanie, her daughter, and Lillian, her grandbaby. They're going to Germany on Monday. And then pray for her and Charles. Yes, God, we thank you, Jesus, for Stephanie, Nikki's daughter, who has a husband that's in the military, and they're going to Germany, a new place. And Lillian, that little grandbaby that talks to angels, thank you, Jesus, for that. Open them up. Protect them, God. Show them that you're with them, God. Show them they can trust you in anything and everything, and that whatever they need to know, that they can know it in Jesus' name, that you're setting them free to be free, the spirit of freedom upon Stephanie and Lillian, to be free, that you can be free wherever you are. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And when you know that, when you get the revelation of that, Steph, what happens is you know that wherever you are, God is. Why? Because you are the temple, right? He dwells in you. He owns you. You're his. You belong to him. He bought you. He paid for you. You think he's not watching over his stuff? His stuff is people. Even more, that's even greater stuff than the regular stuff. God cares about everything. He cares more about people, because when he made people, he said, this is very, very good things. I mean, he made stuff like trees and grass. He said, it's good. When he made people, Adam, he said, this is very good. So he cares more about people, but he also cares about our stuff, right? So when you realize you are the temple of God, you know that, because that special level of care for us, he's not going to take care of us, but he's going to take care of the things that we need. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Know you not that you are the temple of God. Wherever you go, the glory of God goes. You have access to God because of who you are. You're born-again believer. In Jesus' name. Amen. And pray we're living into God to protect her, keep her, watch over her, and multiply and increase them in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything the enemy would do, destroy it before it ever happens. Let them watch the destruction of the enemy right before their eyes. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Pray with Charles. I think I didn't pray with Charles the other night. I thought about that later. I forgot to pray with Charles. Thank you, Jesus, for Charles. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for him being able to, be blessed, God, that his destination that is before him, God. And thank you, Jesus, for opening up those doors and showing him, show Charles how to catch the light,
how to be enlightened by God, how God enlightens people, how God opens people up and shows them things, you know, how to catch the light, how to catch the word, and then catch the rhythm of the word of God. There's a rhythm of the word of God. There's a heartbeat of God's heart. And having the heartbeat of God is having the rhythm of his word, what his word means, what it expresses, what it's for. You don't take a word and misunderstand it, because when you get the heartbeat of God on a word, you know what that word is for and what it means. Yeah, and then you can apply it to what you need to apply it to. Amen, in Jesus' name, and not be afraid of deception, because when you're giving your heart to God and want the truth, and you want the truth, if you, in your personal life, if you're living in the truth and you're not hiding things from yourself, not coming to grips with things, then that right there, if you're walking in that realm, walking in truth with yourself, then the truth you have in other areas will be truth that will be, pure truth. In other words, deceptive truth comes when we're deceiving ourselves, things, amen? So when we're not deceiving, when we're walking in pure truth before it, we're sitting before God and say, yeah, God, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're working on that. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for that. We're not hiding things and lying to ourselves about things. If we're not doing that, then it opens us up to raw, pure truth from God about the Word of God, about the things of God, about the Bible and things and the Word, how to teach things, how to do things, how to understand the Word. Because when we're pure and honest before God, doesn't mean we're perfect, but we're pure, meaning, you're not hiding things. You don't have an anger problem and you act like you don't. You don't have a greedy issue and act like you don't. You know, as an example, I'm not saying about you. But so we're honest about things. Honesty and perfection are two different things, but honesty is what God wants. Therefore, we have an honest evaluation or revelation of the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God didn't come to us and we misunderstand it because we have self-deception within ourselves. Being truthful and honest with yourself has everything to do with how you receive the Word of God, the truth of the Word. Amen? And I know you have a heart after God, and God's really going to show you that, and it's really, really important. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my friend tonight, Nikki. Thank you, Jesus, for Nick. Thank you, God, for opening up those places for them, that home, that homestead. Open up the homestead, Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, open it up and give them more room to breathe. Give them more room to where the enemy can't choke them off from their blessings, but giving them room to breathe, room to move, and freedom to move about whenever they want to in the name of Jesus, so they can go and do whatever they want, anytime they want. In Jesus' name, open that up. Open them up that vehicle in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Bianca, $35. Thank you, Bianca, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing her, God. Thank you, Lord, for opening her up to the pictures that God shows, the pictures in your mind. Thanks very much. Sometimes we all see pictures. Everybody sees pictures. If you have a brain in you, we all have brains in us and an imagination that God gave us. Then we have ability to receive pictures. Pictures is different kinds of pictures on different levels. A picture can be painted in your mind by somebody by saying, I saw a dark green car with yellow stripes on the side with big black wheels with chrome, big back tires with chrome wheels. You start picturing that in your mind. So if you have the ability to do that, you have the ability to see things from God, because that's how God does. When he speaks in your spirit, it shows up in your mind, in your thoughts, as a picture. Like I just got through describing a picture to you, like the voice of God. Act like my voice is the voice of God, and the voice of God is speaking to you, and you start picturing something in your mind, right? That's one of the way God speaks that most people don't realize, Bianca, and God's really going to show you that a lot of times. I'm not saying everything we get, of course, is not God, but you sure learn how to test things. Don't be afraid to test thoughts and pictures that you get in your mind. Test them, write them down. And start showing God that you'll be serious about his stuff. If he shows you things, you'll be serious about it enough to write it down, do something with it, showing that you care about what he speaks to you, what he might be speaking to you. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. And so he's going to start showing you things in the picture realm in your mind. In other words, just like I just said, I drew a picture in your mind by my voice speaking into your ears, and you pictured that green car with the black tires, with the chrome wheels, you had your own picture of that, right? That's one of the ways God speaks. His voice speaks inside you. It's quite, you don't really hear it audibly, but it paints a picture in your mind. With words, sometimes I get words. I have a word come before you. Why? Because that word is painted in my mind. It's spelled out in my mind. My mind knows how to spell, believe it or not. Most words, I can get pretty good. Like he says, I'm going to give you a picture, and he sends the word picture to me. I can see the word picture. Why? Because he's speaking to my spirit. I can't really hear it audibly, but it paints a word, writes a word in my mind, and my mind spells it out. And I go, okay, picture. I see the word picture. You see what I'm saying? God's really going to open that up for you. All right, Jayla. Thank you, Jesus, for Jayla. And also in the creative realm inside you, Jayla, God's going to show you how to develop the creative realm and be able to, separate out other things that God's speaking to you and show you that, when God creates something, he creates something many times that hasn't been thought of. He wants to show you that he wants to give you things that have not been thought of. It's not that, okay, say you're going to make a dress or you're going to make a cake or you're going to do something. So everybody's had cakes. Everybody has cakes. Everybody has icing. Everybody has little doodads on there. But it's the way you do it that becomes unique. And God's going to show you the unique thing. It may look the same, but when people see it, it's going to look unique. You can do the same thing somebody else does. But when they look at yours, they're going to go, that's unique, right? Why? Because there's a flavor of unique written on you. There's a flavor of unique. Thank you for that $40.40 building fund. I think I forgot to say that. But when people see your stuff, it's unique. And so God really wants to show you that the unique thing that is within you is a very special thing. And that what it's because it's the anointing in you. So if you have an anointing for uniqueness and somebody else doesn't, but they're very creative about doing things, when they look at your stuff, they're going, man, that's very cool and creative and unique. They look at somebody else and say, that's really creative and nice, but look, hers is unique. So there's a unique thing, and it's not just, I'm just using that as an example of one thing. That unique thing is because there's something, a passion in you that wants to do things that are unique. The one and only type thing. That's not an arrogant thing. That's not a selfish, that's not a thing. It's something God's put in you. And so you start learning how to develop that in everything that you do. You know, okay, God, this is unique. It looks just like somebody else's, even maybe in your own eyes. But when people see it, they're going to go, that's unique. Well, and you're thinking, yeah, I made it pretty close to what the other person made. We kind of came up with the same basic thing, but mine's unique? Yeah, why? Because they have a unique anointing. The anointing for unique, making things unique. Yeah. All right. Hallelujah. Open that up for her, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Paulette. We got Paulette tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Paulette. Paulette's looking for a loan, a small business loan. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for opening that up for her, for she can, get favor in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just thank you that she said she's planting this $50 seed, $50 tonight. Thank you, Paulette. Specifically for this loan, we thank you, Lord, for favor. We thank you for exceeding abundantly above all she has. Think you can imagine. Give her more favor than she needs. With okay, I might need a little more, a little less, and that way you can have more than what you need, but you don't have to take it all. But you can if you want to. And God giving you favor to know that you can take it, take more or take less. But so God's going to show you how to do that. And giving you favor in the realm of knowing that he's going to give you more than you need, so that if you ever need a little more, just later on, you can go back and go, I need more. And there it is. It's right. The more is always there for you. So the more always there for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for that loan. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name, that you're working that and that you're developing it in the name of Jesus. Develop that. Let the developer in Paulette. And the quality of her development skills, God, in putting things together, and the atmosphere around her, quality and precision, in Jesus' name, be made known. Hallelujah. And bless her money, God. Favor her money in the name of Jesus. May that debt-free anointing be upon you. Amen, in Jesus' name. Debt-free, debt-free, debt-free. All right, Jeannie, $50 building fund. Thank you, Jeannie, for that $50. For the building fund, we just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that.
and opening that up in the name of Jesus. And thank you, God, for the fear of the Lord, the respectful, reverential fear of the Lord in Jeannie's life, God. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And for we just thank you, Jesus, that that she knows in herself the sovereignty of God, the blessing of God, that if God wants her to have something, she's going to have it. Or show her how to work that into her practical everyday life in Jesus' name, where she will understand more so that, you know, what belongs to us cannot be taken away and nobody can steal it, you know. So when God gives it, so in other words, we enter to a place of rest going, you know, that's mine. God knows I'm going to bless him with it. God knows that, you know, I'm going to take care of his, that this is his, I'm going to take care of his business. And just like Jesus told Peter, he said, go get the money out of the fish's mouth. He's going to take care of my bills and your bills. And that's the kind of heart you have, Jeannie. That's the kind of mind you have. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to, the catch of money that I get, the catch, you know, is when it comes in, it's going to be to pay my taxes and yours, to pay, take care of my stuff and yours, to buy the stuff I need and to buy the stuff you need. Yeah, and because Peter had that heart, that's why he walked in that miracle realm of getting the money out of the fish's mouth. Right? Because Peter was lived like that. I mean, he really did. And same way you did. So thank you, Jesus, for that miracle money in the mouth of the fish. And Jesus is, you know, because Jesus wants his bills taken care of, wants his things taken care of. And because you offer to take care of Jesus' bills, you know, and whatever that is, through, you know, you give to many different people. Right? And so God knows you're taking, Jesus knows you're taking care of his bills. So what you going to do? He's going to get you that. He's going to get you that money, and purpose going to be for you, and purpose going to be for him. All right? Take care of both your stuff. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. All right, thank you, Jesus. All right, hang on a second. Okay. Hallelujah. And that's the kind of faith you have. So let's look at what's going on with that. So Noel, $50, building fund. Okay, and some of the issues that she's going through with power grabs and inheritance and that. We have several different people that are dealing with inheritance things. So if you'll pray for each other, like Jeannie will pray for Noel, and Noel pray for Jennifer, for Jeannie, you guys intercede for each other, pray for each other, that God will bless you and give you the ability to, you know, to intercede for each other. And I can't get that there. Okay. Yeah, so we thank you, Jesus, for the power plays that are going on around this. The Jeannie's dealing with the same similar thing. So I thank you, Jesus, that as they can pray for one another, God, in Jesus' name, and I'm sure they already are, but we thank you, Jesus, that you, for that $50 for the building fund. We thank you, Lord, that you, we plant that as a seed, God, for breaking up the power plays of men, where men think that they can rule things, God. Yeah, you let them get by with it for a while, and then you let things build up and build up and build up. And then you go in, and when you deal with things, you know, those who are serving God end up with more of the enemy's money than like when Israel ended up with, you know, their neighbor's money. That's what they ended up with. And it wasn't just them trying to get it. God gave it to them. So they didn't just end up with what was theirs. They ended up also with what belonged to somebody else. And it became theirs because God made it theirs. So I thank you, Lord, for you opening up this thing where just like the Israelites went to the neighbors and the Egyptian neighbors who were basically enemies of theirs, but they were their neighbors. But say enemies, they were contrary to one another. And you said, you know, honor me by the blood of the doorpost. When the angel of death passed over, they went to their neighbors, and what belonged to the neighbor at the time, God says, I'm going to give this to you. Yeah, and then it became theirs, and they walked out of Egypt with it, walking toward their home, their house, or their promised land. In Jesus' name, Lord, I declare that, and I decree that, because the covenant that Noel has with you, Jesus, hallelujah, because that covenant, in Jesus' name, let it be done. Right now, in the name of Jesus, the covenant. I thank you, Lord, that she's a covenant daughter,
of yours. She's thinking more about your stuff. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you. I think I muted myself there. When did I mute myself? I muted myself for a moment. Okay, Sandra. Wow, I think I messed that up. I don't know where I was at with you, Noelle. Okay. Yeah, the sound did go off, and I was ministering over you to Sandra. So what I saw, Sandra, was the favor God's given you that nobody can take that favor from you. In fact, when God gave favor to Israel in Egypt, the favor that he gave them, because they were covenant people, when you're a covenant person, God's giving you favor. Why does he favor you? He favors you because you're going to get his will done. Your little part of the puzzle of the major of the overall will of God, if that doesn't get done, then God's will is not complete. That one little piece of the puzzle messes up the whole puzzle. So what does God do? When you have a covenant with him and you're a part of the puzzle of what God's overall will is, he will go in just like he did with the Egyptians, and he will take their money from them. It will become yours, and you walk out with it. Because why? Because you're going to use it for the will of God. That's why it's so important to obey God in every way, because what happens is God starts taking things away from other people that are not doing right with it and give it to you, because you will do what's right with it. That's why it's important to know that, you know, when God tells us to do something, that we do it because we're proving to God and to the devil that we do with God's stuff what God says. And because of that, God says, okay, now you're moving to the place where I'm going to take away from other people that aren't going to do anything with it, that are don't have covenant with me, like the Egyptians, or people who don't walk with God, don't have a covenant with God. I'm going to take away from them and give it to you. It's called the wealth of the wicked, or the wealth of the wicked is not the right word here. The other people's wealth. The Israelites, because they had a covenant with God, and were going to do with God's money what God wanted, that he went in and took the neighbor's money who didn't have a covenant with God and took that money away from them and gave it to them because they were going to use it for God's will. Amen? So it's not just the wealth of the wicked. It's the wealth of the neighbors. It's the wealth of people that are your neighbors. Can be people that you used to be friends with or used to be part of or something, and they were supposed to obey God in certain things, and they didn't do it. God goes in, and he says, I'm going to take that away from them and give that to you because you're going to do what I say with it. And so that's why God can bless, take the wealth of the wicked and give it to us. It's not because we're going to do whatever we want to with it. Like, I'm a Christian, so I'll get the wealth of the wicked, and I can do whatever I want to with it. No, God gives it to you because he knows you're going to do what he says with it. That's why he can trust you with it. Amen? So I see God taking that away from them and giving that to you because you're going to do what God says. Once you yield yourself to be a – God blessed them. The covenant God made with his people was he blessed them to be a blessing. Part of the gold and silver they got was building the temple. They took their earrings off and their rings. And they made the Ark of the Covenant was made out of the earrings from people that they gave. That's why God blessed Israel. They had their mistake. They had made a lot of mistakes and failure. But generally speaking, the wealth that came out of Egypt was to build a temple with. But God gave it to the people specifically and individually so that they could take part of it and give it to God, knowing that they would do that. God gave it to them. So God is opening you up for that. He's trying to show you. Don't feel bad about that. Don't go, because God is a just God. He knows what people are going to do with stuff and what they're not going to do with it. And what does he do? He says, man, they're going to waste that. So I don't want that wasted. So I'm going to give it to Sandra, because Sandra will do what's right with it. She will do what I tell her. She'll take a portion of it for the building of the temple and part of it will be for her and her family. You know, that kind of a thing. So that's what the Israelites did. They took some of it for the temple, some of it for them. It was for their houses, their homes, and their families. So God's going to rob people. Jesus comes like a thief in the night. You're going to know, Sandra, you're going to get to that. It's an amazing revelation. You're going to be able to quote the scripture, yeah, he came like a thief in the night. What does a thief in the night do? He takes away things that really, in this case, like the Egyptians, he came like a thief in the night and took things, had the Egyptians, the Israelites take out things that you know, that no longer belonged to the Egyptians. It belonged to God's people. And they took it to the Canaan with them. So get ready for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open that up, God. Sure. Not to feel bad about that. Not to feel, well, you know, I don't want somebody else's money. It's not about it's somebody else's money. It's the money that God wants you to have because you're going to do what he says with it. Amen? That's just the way God does it. It sounds cruel sometimes. The wealth of the wicked are laid up for the righteous. The wealth of people who don't do right with God's money, with the money, you're going to give it to those who will. So get used to it, girl. Get used to it. Well, I don't want, yeah, well, God wants to do it that way. What do we have to say about it? Not a lot, that's for sure. Not a lot. We just receive it. I want to laugh about that for some reason. I don't know why. It's almost funny to me right now. Really funny. All right. Angela Joy, $100 building fund. Pray for my three J's, Jonathan, Joshua, and Joel. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that because these are covenant children, we thank you, Lord, that God, you're gonna deal with them to the fullest. You're gonna open their eyes. Here's the thing I see going on. God's gonna open their eyes, and when God opens their eyes, they're going to see. And once they start seeing, so once you get a glimpse of glory, it's hard to turn down. It's hard to turn it down because it's the glimpse of God's glory. There's nothing like it. God's going to give them a taste, if he hadn't already, given them a taste of the glory of God. He's going to give them a taste of the glory. In Jesus' name, bless Jonathan with a taste of the glory. Bless Joshua with a taste of the glory. Bless Joel with a taste of the end time glory. The end time glory, God, that you've chosen him to be in the end times, to be a part of the glory of God in the end times, to make lots of money and lots of wealth and lots of blessing, and bring the wealth of the wicked into the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Bring the wealth of the wicked into the kingdom in Jesus' name. If Joel will say, I will do it, God, I will do with whatever you say, he's going to bless him abundantly in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And bless Joshua, God, that Joshua, the heart that Joshua has to see people be set free. There's a thing in Joshua that wants people to be set free. He hates to see people locked up, bound up, and messed up. In Jesus' name, and God wants to see Joshua see the people get set free of their bondage, of their things, of their slavery, of the things that lock them up and cause them to suffer and be a slave or be bound. You know, there's something in Joshua that doesn't like that, and God's going to use that. So, and Jonathan, God, we thank for Jonathan. That Jonathan be a covenant person, be a person who stands with people, who stands for them, with them, in agreement with them, that Jonathan has an ability to stand in agreement with people. Open that up with him, God. Show him how powerful his agreement is. God, wherever two or more agree is touching this matter, it shall be done. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you for Angela, God. We thank you, Lord, for that realm of favor. Father, to show her what that favor is for. God gives us favor for a purpose. That purpose is... you know, for God's purposes. The purpose for favor is for God's purposes. And it's really simple, but that's really it. So I thank you, Lord, that everything Angela does, she's a purpose-driven person. She's always like that. God, is this your purposes? God, is this what you want? Is this part of your purpose? Because God's giving you a purpose-driven person. And God's made you like that. You know, everything you see, you want it to be, have a purpose to it, have some, what am I here for? What's the purpose that I'm here for? What am I doing? You're a purpose-driven person, and that's a God thing. That's a God thing. God's made you like that. He's made you free to want to be have purpose and know God's purpose, because individual purposes are for the purposes of God's overall plan. And every person doing their job is extremely important. That's why God chooses people like yourself to come in and pray their purpose, bring their purpose, let their purpose, open it up for them, God. Because when you find out that their little purpose is fits into the big purposes of God, and without it, when one hurts, we all hurt. When you see that, that's, you know, makes you want so much more to see the purposes of individuals come together, because it has to do with the overall purposes of God coming together. And every time a purpose of God's not being done, it hinders the timing and thing. That's why a lot of things get hindered. people think they should do their own thing, and it messes up the timing, you know. So when people get together and start doing the will of God, timing, things are going to click. Purposes and pray for people's purposes is so important. Hallelujah. Very, very important. And God's going to reward that. All right, Donald and Tanya, thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya. And we thank you, Father, for that, for them, in Jesus' name. Open them up, God, for the divinity of God, that God's opened up his divinity to you, the divineness of God, the special actions of God, the special purposes of God, God wants to show you that everything that he does it for a special purpose. He does it for a special reason. And to be able to understand the mysteries of purpose, God's really going to show you how to, be a freedom fighter. God's called you to be a freedom fighter. Just like Moses. Moses was really a freedom fighter. He watched the reason that God put him to be on the side of Egypt for a while. He was raised by an Egyptian, by the Egyptians, in the high up levels. Excuse me. And he was able to see what bondage looked like and injustice looks like, and he hated it. Moses hated it. And the reason that he did hate it, Donald and Tony, is because he had a purpose. His purpose was to be a deliverer, to deliver people from injustice, to deliver people, like we talked about the other night. When people sin and mess up and rape and murder and kill and steal, if we can have a government of the church functioning where when people do that, we find out why they did it. We don't just throw them in prison because they did do something. The government, that's the way the world government works. The world curse courts work like that. They just, you mess up, you're going to prison. And the government church, the church government that's truly of God, we come before the courtrooms of heaven, before the throne room of God, and, yeah, people start confessing their stuff. We start finding out when they were a kid, all kinds of things happened to them. Demons, they were offered up to devils. So we had to set them free of all that stuff and keep their confessions private, so nobody can know that they really did do those bad things, for the church to keep them private and secret, because what we're looking for is to set people free, even though they are messed up, even though they are full of the devil, even though they did rape and kill and murder and do all those bad things. We don't want them to go to prison. You know, we give them a chance. The church is going to give them a chance for freedom. God really giving you a vision for that, Donald and Tanya, as a mother and father in the spirit, to see that. That people, yes, they are messed up. They're really messed up. You know, I wouldn't want them living in my house or being around my family. But you know what? The Church of the Living God is called to get those people in counsel, get them in deliverance ministry, get them in, you know, in the prophetic councils, and find out, get them healed and delivered and set free of the things that of why they're doing what they're doing, instead of just throwing them in prison and leaving them there. That's what the worldly government does. In courts, but the courts of heaven, the courtrooms of God, are going to set people free, literally. And then the thing that it should be in prison for has been confessed to priests that have an oath before God. They're not gonna tell anybody. They're gonna get all that stuff out, get free, set free, get delivered, washed and clean, and be the greatest men of God and women of God that we've ever seen. Why? Because the church sets up courts and thrones. And so that judges can judge them, where they can be judged and be sent to not the prison, but to the places for deliverance and freedom, amen, and forgiveness and love and the gospel. And so just like Moses had a passion to see justice and things done right, so do you, both of you. God's put that in you because you're going to be a part of that, that part of that church is going to that where the we're going to have the throne rooms of God in the earth, like when they spoke to Peter and said, you know, about the Ananias' fire rate. He said, you're not speaking to me. You just didn't lie to me. You lied to God. Well, he wasn't God, but God was in the room because there was a throne room there, and God dealt with him. Obviously, he had a really bad heart, and God said there's no hope for this person in both of them, and he knew it, I guess, because he dealt with him pretty harshly. But there's different levels of judgment. And we're going to learn that. God, sometimes he just blinds people for a season. You know, like Paul the Apostle blinded somebody. You know, he spoke blindness on him. Why? That was a judgment for the moment. Sometimes, you know, give people over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, for the saving of the soul. Why? Because that's what it's going to take to bring them to the saving of the soul. You know, that's what a church, true church of the living God does. Does whatever it takes to get that person free. Right? And that you have a tremendous passion for freedom and justice. And when people are messed up, to get them help, not to get them thrown in prison. Amen? Yeah. So in Jesus' name. All right. Cheryl from Florida, $150. Had a brother going back into surgery. They need a miracle. She's been praying for miracles so he could see the hand of the Lord. Lord, I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. And I thank you, Lord, for her brother. We thank you for her family, God, the calling on her family, the calling in her seed, the calling in her womb, the calling in her and everything within her, the DNA, God, that you're cleansing and washing and all the sins of the fathers that try to come and affect our children, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers and fathers. God, I thank you that Cheryl is going to be that one that stands in the gap to see the sins of the fathers forgiven in the bloodlines and all the things that the enemy uses to take people out, to take advantage of sin, to take advantage of mistakes, to take advantage of stuff, cannot be taken advantage of, where Satan cannot take advantage of people. But they'll be given a chance to change and be helped. And I thank you, Lord, for that calling in her life, God, and for her brother. God, have mercy, Jesus. Do in this surgery that she's going back for, have mercy, God. Dear God, we stand in for mercy. We speak the sins of the fathers, like I speak over every person now these days, and when God leads me to, in Jesus' name, the sins of the fathers are forgiven in Jesus' name. I loosen your brother to be free, to be separated from the sins of the fathers, the things that get passed down in our bloodline. In Jesus' name, they are forgiven, that they are released, God, and bless him in Jesus' name and protect him and keep him, God. And you, Cheryl, God, to stand in the gap for those who the enemy would take advantage of. Amen, because of their times of weakness, their times of failure. And then once they make that mistake, then Satan draws them into to sin. He draws them into that thing, and then he tries to destroy him. Once he draws them into it, and then he turns around and says, you guilty, no good, whatever. Yeah, and he takes advantage of that. So, Lord, I thank you for using Cheryl, God, to break that down of people where Satan can take advantage of their weaknesses and their human weaknesses and their sins of the fathers that they're already bent toward doing things already, and they do them because it's already in them. And then they become guilty, and then it's like a cycle. And God wants to use you, Cheryl, to break the cycle. Hallelujah. Break that cycle in Jesus' name. Bring blessing on your family, healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, I speak blessing into your bloodline, forgiveness, glory, honor, worship, praise, and dedication to God in Jesus' name, sanctification, set apart unto God in Jesus' name, let it be done. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, coming up to $200 cash again. We're going to give that as for part of the match money. And then they gave a dollar and then $500. Pray for Zena. We thank you, Lord, for Zena. God, we thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you, Father, for once things have been set in order and somebody tries to mess with that order, that those that try to mess with the order of God on purpose, God's going to deal with them. He's going to draw them to repentance, or he's going to deal with them. When we start setting up the throne rooms of God, Terrence and Tanisha, we start, and I know you guys are part of that, just like I'm a part of it, setting up a throne. God set up a throne. He's setting up, you know, a place to set up all during the tribulation where people can come and have safety and protection, like in the wilderness situation where people can come and be safely protected and protected and watched over. And the weak and the women and the children that are weak and, you know, trying to raise their kids can be protected in a special place. We thank you, Lord, for using them for that, like in the Revelation 12, I think it says, that the woman was taken into the wilderness for a place of protection from the Antichrist. We thank you, Lord, that Terrence and Tanisha are part of that, God, in that the way you deal with Zena and all the things going on with her, God. We thank you, Jesus, that once things are set right with God and you're messing things up, you're trying to mess things up, that when the altar's been put in order and you try to mess with that, No, in Jesus' name, God, be merciful. Those doors are shut. In Jesus' name, the door is shut that no man can open. Terrence and Nisha, and open that no man can shut. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. The past is the past. It's all in Jesus' name. And new beginnings in Jesus' name. A new church. We're a part of a new church. We're part of this church that we're talking about, the book of Acts, in Jesus' name, where we're going to see the throne rooms of God come in and be able to minister people and bless people and change people's lives in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, because they're part of that, you protect your work. You protect your servants. You build a hedge around them in the name of Jesus. You build a hedge around them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, over Terrence and Tanisha, God, in Jesus' name. Mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, for the sons and daughters of God, for this new church that you're raising up, the Book of Acts Church, in Jesus' name, that's going to be ready to suffer, going to be ready to give its life, going to be ready to preach the gospel no matter what, going to be ready to forgive and bless. And also, when sometimes we're going to watch people die, when they come in and deliver the willfully lie to God, you know, God's going to smite them because he knows their hearts. That's the thing about God. You don't have to worry about God because God smites somebody. You know, that something was really weird with that. If he just temporarily blinded somebody, like Paul temporarily blinded some guy, you know, many different situations with different things. God doesn't just smite everybody with the same thing. Depends on what they've got going on. Sometimes he'll blind them so they'll quit doing what they're doing so they can't see to do it anymore to change them. He has different ways to deal with people. God, I think of showing Terrence and Tanisha all the different ways you deal with people. Sometimes it's pretty rough. Sometimes it's like ananias' power. Sometimes it's like the man Paul turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the saving of his soul. The purpose was the saving of the soul. Whatever it takes, God, that's what we want. That's what Terrence and Nisha want. You've given them a heart for that, God, for family, for true family. In Jesus' name, covenant family, in the name of Jesus, let it be done. Hallelujah. And that dollar for Zena, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Nicole, $221.25. Thank you, Nicole. Their tithes, that's your tithe. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Father, for the training courses of training people how to think about the end times, training people about how to think about how things really are in the body of Christ, and training people how to walk through the tribulation, training people how to walk through disasters and situations. Training sessions, training videos, getting people to think correctly, to open up, to say, okay, can I have things and still seek God with all my heart? Yeah, you can. Seek first the Lord and his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you. God's going to add things to you. Things are important. The thing realm is important to God. If we seek him first, he adds it, and then he protects it. So to teach people the way it really works. Now, some people think they're so dedicated to God, they don't ever have anything. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that. It says when we seek God first and his righteousness, then he adds it to it, and then he protects it like he did with Job, built a hedge of protection around it. People need to know how that works in Jesus' name. Therefore, God gives, and if God wants to take it away for a season, he may take it away to bring multiplication and show different people why Satan's able to take things from them, because it's not really of God. It's been burned up in the fire, and why sometimes, like in Job's case, Satan couldn't touch his stuff until God removed the hedge, and there was a reason for the hedge being removed. All those different things, teaching people all the different the ways of God so they can know the ways of God, teachings, revelations from heaven, and opening up people to the real word of God, the way it really is supposed to be. Amen. In Jesus' name, truth, the love of truth in you, Nicole. God is burning within you. Passion for the love of truth. And I think that dream you had about you know, that may come to pass, you know, in 24. I don't know. I mean, I thought about that. I think about that. I know you had that dream about his wife come out and said he, you know, wearing, you know, death clothes or whatever. Had her funeral garb on, mourning clothes. Yeah, that may be what that is. I don't know. I know we're waiting for God to open up, but hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Something about it. All right. Okay, let's go here. I'm messing that up. Okay, there we go. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Nicole, awesome. Training, huh? I guess that's your school stuff going on there. Your whatever, sounds like to me. Awesome, awesome. Haley, $620. Pray for my friends. Pray for my family, friends. Thank you, Rhonda. Pray for my friend Rhonda. Haley says, thank you. $620. Thank you, Haley, for that. God bless you. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the whole family thing with Haley, God, for her whole family. God's going to give you your own family. He's going to give you family. He's going to give you family of any kind of child or friendship that you want, of any race, color, creed, whatever they are. God's going to let you befriend them, love them, and have a family. And God's going to let you make a family, going to make a family for you the way that you dream that a family should be like. Dedicated, loyal, friendship, things, you know, have somebody you can tell anything to and they'll keep it private and the whole thing. Having true friendship. And for Haley's family, God, we thank you, Lord, that you've seen what family can be and what family can't be. What is it? And you have a lot of places in you that are lacking, like family. Like, okay, God, I didn't get this in my family. I had a good family, but there are a lot of things we're missing. And all the things that we're missing, God says, I'm going to restore the missing things that you missed about family that weren't, like, my family was a good people, but they weren't perfect. There's a lot of things missing in my family that I wished I could have seen and had, you know, even with a good family. And so God's given you a heart for family. He's going to bring you the kind of family that he wants you to have, you know, a God family. Of friends, and that you stand beside each other no matter what and not be afraid to love with full passion, full passionate love in Jesus' name. And over Rhonda, God, we thank you for Rhonda, God, that you open up Rhonda to that same thing of covenant friendship, of covenant family, of covenant relationship, God, in Jesus' name, that you bless and that you open up to, God, and that you keep and protect and watch over, where we don't have to fear, you know, are they gonna betray me or deny me or you know, backstab me or whatever, gossip about me. And we can feel totally safe and confident that because you brought us those friendship and that family, in Jesus' name, a lot of our needs are met. Family meet needs. And God uses family to meet needs. That's why God loves family. That's why he made family. That's why he created family, was to meet the needs of people, to create a people, to give them the right image of what a true father is, a true mother, a true friend, a true husband, a true wife, you know, a true family. And God's going to bring you that, Haley, in Jesus' name, and open that up for you. Amen. As an example, it's going to be like a trophy. God's going to use you like a trophy to do that in Jesus' name. Isn't it cool? I love that. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody here. I'm not quite through yet, but okay. Okay, Regina, $25. Thank you, Regina, for that $25. Thank you, Jesus, for Regina. Lord, I thank you for Regina. I thank you for giving her a taste for the glory of God. And now that you've got a taste for the glory of God, you can't be satisfied with anything else. So not that everything's the same with the glory of God, but there's different flavors that God has with his glory. Glory has, you know, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, you know, cinnamon. It's all kinds of different flavors that come from different people that you can glean from the glory of God in them. Every kind of different personality. God's going to show you that you can fellowship and be friends with any kind of personality, any kind of person, whatever they, you can learn to glean from them. And God's going to teach you how to not be narrow-minded, but to be open-minded to God's character, nature, and flavors that he put in people, and learn to enjoy every flavor from every personality from every person. I think that's it. Okay. So God really opened you up to the family of God. And how God's not a respecter of person. He's not prejudiced. He's not, you know, he opens up to every person of all kinds. In fact, he made all of them, and he wants to show you how to enjoy them like he enjoys them, so that you can love and enjoy the body of Christ like he loves and enjoys the body of Christ. Amen? And how he made them and what he made them for, their purpose. So when you understand their purpose, then you understand why God made them, then you understand why he made them, then you can enjoy them and you understand why he made them that way. Oh, why did he make that person that way? They're like, you know, what's wrong with him? What's going on? Oh, he made them for that. Oh, that's why he made them. Oh, okay. And you start seeing it, then you can learn to enjoy that person for the thing they bring to the table that nobody else brings to the table. And it no longer is frustrating to you. It becomes very pleasant because you're like going, oh, God made them that way. Like when I start seeing God made all the different bugs. You ever seen some of the bugs that God made? They're some of the most crazy-looking, odd-looking things you've ever seen in your life. When you look at them, God made them, and his creativity made that bug look like that. It's amazing. God made that bug with those antennas and those crazy-looking legs. And it's just amazing how God's beauty and his creativity made all the different creatures. I mean, it's amazing. And when you see it with people, you learn to enjoy, like I learned to enjoy the look of every bug. I'd look at every bug. I'd really examine every bug, every you know, all kinds of creatures. I'd just look at them and like get a magnifying glass and try to look at the details. And my goodness, God, the details on this guy is amazing, on this bug or this ant or whatever it is. And I just learned to see and enjoy the beauty of God and looking at an ant or a bug because God made them for a specific purpose, and I learned to enjoy them because they're so fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, and that way with people, Regina, God's showing you how to do it with people. Amen. All right. Thank you, God. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Okay. Hang on a second. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Keith and Robin, $50. All right. Let's go here and all right. Keith and Robin, $50. $50 for Robin, $50 for Keith. Thank you, Jesus, for Robin. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for activating her. It's like I see part of your faith been hidden. Part of your faith, like you know something is in you that you haven't activated yet. Or why can't I get to this part of my who I am? Because I need it. I need more to go, you know, to be able to handle more, to do more for God. It's like I see God because you're groaning and travailing, you know, in your spirit, in your mind, your heart, like groaning after God, searching after God, Robin. To God, give me more. It's like, you know, does it come from above? No, it's already in you. God's just going to unlock it. He's unlocking faith in you that obviously you're doing good with the faith you have because he's saying, I'm ready to unlock some more for you. And it's already in you, already been downloaded in you. And God's about to show you how to tap into it and how to use it just like a computer program. You know, you learn how to you know, do these computer programs. It takes a while. You have to take trainings. People have to teach you, you know, how to, how to use them to the fullest. And so I see God really unlocking things for you and giving you the ability to work your faith at a new level that you never had before, and start seeing, miracles happen. You know, little miracles, big miracles, bunch of little miracles make a big miracle. I see a lot of little things that have happened along the way that are going to all make one big miracle. Like you put different pieces of a puzzle, a bunch of little pieces of a puzzle together, it makes this big, beautiful puzzle, and you start seeing the overall picture. God's going to start showing you the picture of things, why they happened, why they didn't happen, and what made them happen, and show you how to, just like the disciples. How do you do that? And teachers, they thought, well, it's the way he prays. That's what it is. How do you pray? So they asked him, how do you pray, Jesus? Because his prayers, they kind of figured out was why things happened the way they did. So how do you pray? So in seeking God, seeking Jesus how to pray, he taught them how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven. He goes on with that prayer. And God opening up the Lord's Prayer to you and unlocking things that have not been unlocked before. And a lot of it has to do with the faith he's given you already. And obviously you're ready for a whole other level of faith because he's getting ready to unpack it in you in Jesus' name. Yeah, so, yeah, for the future, there's future things. It's like he's saying prepare for the future, prepare for the future, prepare for the future by, letting God test the things that you have. But we got to be willing to, Robin, until God lets us, gives us the faith and the courage to let him test the things, you know, like whatever we have that's not of him, but gets burned up with fire. So sometimes we have to let him burn things up so we can see what's left so we can go, okay, that's it, you know. Okay. And so he can show you what was of faith and what wasn't of faith. And he does this with me off and on. You know, I've learned not to wait too long to ask God to do away with the things that I'm messing with that, because we don't always know exact. So I say, God, put it to the test. If it's not you, burn it up. You know, remove things. It's hard to do that. I give him the freedom to do it. And when he does, then I end up going, okay, I feel less of a load. I feel less anxiety. I feel less of a burden. I seem to be freer right now. And even though I suffered a little bit of a loss, I feel free and the ability to move forward. When before, it was a struggle to move forward in some areas. Amen? And so God, we have to be able to be willing to offer that to God and say, God, put this on the altar. Do with it what you want. I just want what's of you and nothing else. So I give you permission, Jesus. And so that's what God will do. And, yeah, because you're getting ready for God to add a whole other level to you, a whole other level of faith to you. And, to be able to activate things. It's activation season. Activation season. God's showing you how to activate. It's activated by faith. Faith with works activates. Pray and obey is what activates. And I know you know that already, but God's showing you how to do that in Jesus' name at another level of faith. We pray for Keith, God. $50 with Keith. We thank you, Jesus, for the wise and the foolish virgins. God, that you're showing Keith how to be wise in things, how to say no when he needs to say no, how to say yes to the things he needs to say yes to, and to, you know, it's just like the wise virgins had to say to the foolish virgins, you know, I can't give you part of my oil because I might not have enough to enter in. And so that sounded selfish. It sounded like whatever, but that was God's will. And so sure enough, the foolish virgins didn't make it. Sometimes we have to be willing to let go of the foolish virgins because they're going to drag us down. They're going to drain our oil. And God says, you know, you have to have enough oil. Each individual person has to have their own oil and learn how to get their own oil. They can't be getting oil from somebody else. God's showing you, Keith, how to get oil from him. And Robin, too, same thing. Learn how to get oil from God, individually. You can't get it from your wife. Your wife can't get it from you. You get your own oil and the amount of oil and excess of oil. In Jesus' name, God's showing you how to do that in Jesus' name and not, you know, give away oil to people that it doesn't belong to, you know. Because it could stop you from you entering in. And God is very interested in every person entering in. Because entering in is where our protection and our safety and our provision is. So I thank you, Jesus, for that right now by the power of God. And the blessing, O Keith, God, and Robin, in the name of Jesus, blessing, 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 blessing. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's go here in a second. Okay, we got Jonathan. Pray for Melissa and my mom, Carol. And give Julie a hug, please. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Jonathan. God, we just stay tonight we pray for Melissa. Thank you, Jesus, that you show Melissa how to feed herself, how to get food, you know, how to get nourishment and encourage. David said, he had to learn how to encourage himself in the Lord. Sometimes we depend too much on people to encourage us. God, you're showing her how to, because sometimes we get left with having to encourage, you know, get courage from somebody else and they're not around, they're not available, they're busy, they're caught up into business or work or something. then we miss out on, and we go through this discouragement spell, and we don't know how to give our, how to get our own courage from the Lord and encourage ourselves in the Lord. That's what David had to learn how to do too. And it was a thing that we have to learn, how to get encouragement from the Lord. Amen. Melissa, God, straight. And we pray for Carol, Jonathan's mom, Carol. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for Carol. I thank you for surrounding her with people that will know that she's being supported by them. It doesn't take a lot of people, but so that will show support and will show friendship. And you know, every person needs, at least we need at least one person in our life that God can use to support us and be our friends. You know, will tell us the truth no matter what. And I thank you, Lord, for Carol, for blessing her, for protecting her, for keeping her, Jesus, and giving her people that will tell her the truth in love and be true friends in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for Jonathan, God opening up Jonathan to the spirit of victory, showing him how to enter into the spirit of victory, to live in victory, to access victory, to activate victory in Jesus' name, and to acknowledge the victory from the Lord when he brings it in Jesus' name, and be able to give to God what belongs to God and give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Thank you, Jesus, for that and for blessing him and him being able to access information that he needs to help him, teach him how to find information that he needs from you and from, you know, whatever, the knowledge of others that will fit and bring all the pieces of the puzzle together for John that can come together and bring a blessing to him, Father, in his financial realm. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. All right. Wow, cool. I think I got everybody tonight. Okay. Everybody's probably asleep now anyway, but okay, thank you, Jesus. All right, everybody. I think that's it for tonight. If you need prayer, call in during the week. All Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we pray for people, minister to people, prophesy to people, talk to people. So if you need some of that, want some of that, we'd love to help you with it. So, thank you for everything you do, and appreciate everything tonight. God is so good, and may he be pleasant. May you find yourself being pleased by the Lord and the Lord pleasing you. His Lord wants to please you, and he wants to bring pleasure to you. Faith is what pleases God, and when God is pleased, he brings pleasure to those who bring pleasure to him. Amen? Yeah. You bring pleasure to God, he'll bring pleasure to you. I guarantee it. Yeah. All right, everybody, I'm going to call it a night tonight. Thank you very much for everything you do. Thanks for PGN. We thank God for everybody doing the thing that God's called them to do. Thank you for your offerings, your giving. Thank you for those who send a little cash in for me. I appreciate that. And letting me do that thing with giving it to the fund. Yeah, the matching fund. Thank you for that. All right. God bless everybody. And I think that's it for the night. Thank you. I think I prayed over everybody. If not, let me know. And we will do it. So God bless everyone. Good night. And have a good weekend. It is 12:12, exactly 12:12 my time. All right. God bless.